on Pesach with Hagola. If you want to do Libun, you can. There are two ways to kasher Trei for Kelim. Parshas Tzav is always the Shabbos before Pesach. Shabbos Hagola is always Parshas Tzav. So one of the reasons that's on our system now, one of the reasons why is because in Parshas Tzav you have the dinim of Hagola. The dinim of kashering Trei for Kelim appear twice in the Chumash. Once in Parshas Tzav in connection with Korbanos. If you cook every time you cook a korban in a pot, you're making a problem of treifas. How is it a problem of treifas? Because every korban has a zman mugvol, and after the zman is up, so then the korban becomes noiser on Pesach with Hagola. If you want to do libun, you can. There are two ways to kasher treifa kelim. Parshas Tzav is always the Shabbos before Pesach. Shabbos Hagola is always Parshas Tzav. So one of the reasons that's on our system now, one of the reasons why is because in Parshas Tzav you have the dinim of Hagola. The dinim of kashering Trei for Kelim appear twice in the Chumash, once in Parshas Tzav, in connection with Korbanos. If you cook every time you cook a korban in a pot, you're making a problem of treifas. How is it a problem of treifas? Because every korban has a zman mugvol, and after the zman is up, so then the korban becomes noiser. So even though at the time that I cooked the korban in the pot, everything was akasher atop and akasher alefel, the food was kosher, the pot is kosher, everything is kosher, but when I leave the korban, if it's a kachu kachma, I leave it till tomorrow morning, it'll become nifsa belina. If it's kachu kalma, I leave it till 2 days, it'll become nifsa belina. Every korban has a zman, either 1 day or 2 days. The maximum has is 2 days. So it's going to become nifsa belina. So even though, let's say, I cooked the korban in the pot today, I ate up everything, let's say, sirim men, I break, I didn't leave anything over, but the bli in the pot was still left over. The bli in the pot is still left over. So the chumish says, pasuk in the chumish, the pot becomes treif. I cooked the carbon in the pot, I ate everything up, we said the bracha, shekhar the shalom, and so it's one of our achilas hazerach. We ate everything finished, we washed out the pot, spit and spin, we put it back in the cabinet, everything is kosher. When it comes the morning, alois hashachar comes at 4:45 in the morning, the pot becomes treif. No one's touching the pot, no. The pot becomes treif because it has a bliyef in the carbon, and the carbon is nifsal belina. When it comes alois hashachar, the carbon becomes treif. So that's what the Chumash says in Parashas Tzav, we just read about it 2 days ago. That every time you cook a korban in a pot, you have an issue of Hagolas Kelim. So the Chumash only speaks about Hagolah, doesn't say a word about Libun. Later in the end of Chumash Bamidbar, by the Melchemes Midyon, when they waged the war against the Midyonim, so they killed the men and they took the women as shvachos, and they confiscated the behemoths, and then they confiscated all the pots and pans, whatever they can get, they got. So they took all of the pots and pans. So the problem was the pots and pans were treif. They were tamei also. They were tamei, so they had to remove the tumas meis because there were a lot of dead bodies all over the place. They had to remove tumas meis, it says. But the pots and pans were treif, so the Torah says they had a kasha. So the Chumash says, whatever pots were used by the goyim for cooking treif for soups in required hagola. And whatever pots and pans, whatever things, whatever utensils were used for broiling on, they had to do a libun on. So the Gemara in the last half of Avodah Zarah is bothered with this kasher. How come in Parshas Matos you have two forms of kashering Trefi Kelim? You have Hagola and you have Libun. And here in Parshas Tzav you only have Hagola mentioned. Hagola means that you have a pot of burning hot water, bubbling hot, burning hot water, Mala Resicha, 212 degrees, and you put in the Trefi spoon and you put in the Trefi pot and it accomplishes the Hagola. So how come Libun is not mentioned over here? Like it's mentioned in Parshas Giuli Klei Midyon, that if you buy a treifa kli from a goy, there they didn't buy, there they confiscated in the war. So they took away the treifa kelim from the goy. So half of the kelim was sufficient with Hagola, and half of the kelim they needed libun. How come over here in Parshas Tzav it doesn't say that sometimes you need libun? If you took a korban chatas and you broiled it on a broiler, so then it shouldn't be sufficient with Hagola. You should need libun. So the Gemara, the last half of Avodah Zarah, is bothered with this kasha and chumash. The discrepancy between the two parshas of Kasher and Kelim. So the Gemara has two answers. One answer the Gemara gives is Yagid Olav Reyo. Yagid Olav Reyo is an expression from a pasuk in Mishlei. Yagid Olav Reyo means Bozeh V'Li Ben Alzeh. You learn Parshas Tzav, you may make a mistake and think there's only a din of one din of Hagolah. You come to the end of Chumash Bamidbar and you get the Parshas Matos and the Giuli Klei Midyon. So you come to the realization that there are two ways to Kasher Kelim. Sometimes Hagolah and sometimes Libun. That's the answer that we don't accept La'aloh. Aloha Lamaisa, that's Abai's answer. Aloha Lamaisa, we pass like Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is the Hilchos HaKibasroi, he was later. Rav Ashi says, no, that there's a big difference between Hetera Bola as opposed to Isura Bola. In Parshas Tzav, the Chumash is speaking about a situation where the person cooked a kosher carbon in a pot. At the time that he cooked it, that he broiled it, let's say carbon chatos, he's broiling a carbon chatos, so everything is kosher now. So then, the Chumash says that he's going to leave it till the morning, till Alos HaShachar in the morning, and Atorah, chatos is a kochi kochi misnechel yom v'laylo, all night long till Alos HaShachar. The Rabbanon, the Chachamim said, you have to finish eating the carbon chatos by chatzos. Nechel yom v'laylo at chatzos. But it doesn't become nicer till the morning, it becomes nicer at Alos HaShachar. So the Torah says, when you broil a chatos in a broiler, and there's a bliya, when it's going to come Alos HaShachar, it's going to become treif. So if you do a hagola before it becomes treif, there's a machlekes harishayin what the pshat is, but that's the easier of the two pshatim. If you do a hagola before it becomes treif, so what if you have a kli that really needs libun? You really should kasher out the kli. But instead of doing libun means you burn it out with fire. Instead of doing libun, you do hagola. So it doesn't help at all, it doesn't accomplish anything, no. When you have a kli that needs libun means that the bliya is balua, is absorbed even deeper than it would have been if you would have only cooked. If you cook treifas soup in a pot, the bliya is absorbed to a certain extent. And if you broil treifas in a pot, then it's even absorbed further. So when you have to kasher the kli, if the bliya was ayidei ha'esh, then the kashering has to be ayidei ha'esh in order to accomplish removal of all of the treifas. If you do a hagola on a kli that really needs libun, so it'll accomplish most of the treifas will be yotzei ayidei hagola, and a little bit will remain behind. So the Rabashi says that the psukim, this apparent discrepancy between the psukim in Parshas Tzav and the psukim by Geulah Klei Midyon, the answer to this discrepancy is that in Parshas Tzav we're talking about hetera gola. He cooked a kosher achatos in the pot. He broiled. Let's say he broiled a kosher achatos in the pot. And then after he finishes eating it, if he's going to do hagola on a kli that really should have needed libun, the hagola is going to knock out 99% of the bliya. So it's going to be a little bit, 1% of the bliya left. And it didn't become asa yet. I'm going to do the hagola before Alos HaShachar, before it becomes nifsal belina. So if you do hagola on a kli that needs libun, most of the bliya comes out. The slight amount of bliya that's remained in the kli is only a tam kolush. That's the expression that the Rishonim use. It's the bliya that's left is only a tam kolush. And you want the Issa Noisa to be chal at Alois HaShachar at 4:45 in the morning on a tam kolush, so that's the halacha. An Issa cannot be chal, cannot set in on a tam kolush. If you have already the pot is in Parshas, in Midyon, Kiyuli Klei Midyon, and the end of Chumash Bamidbar, where the Goyim were using their kelim for treifas, so a broiler that they broil treifas steaks on needs libun, because it was Isura Bola, it was Bolei an Isur. So then if you're going to just do Hagola instead of doing libun, it'll knock out 99% of the bliya, but what will be remaining behind will be a tam kolush. But the Isur already was Chalan, and they were broiling treifas over there. So since the Isur already set in, so a tam kolush is enough to retain an Isur on it. But a tam kolush is not enough to have an Isur Chal Melechatchila on it. So over here in Parashat Tzav, if you're going to do a Hagola on a kli that really should have needed libun, the Hagola will remove almost everything. Whatever will remain behind will only be a tam kolush, and the Yisra will not be able to set in on the tam kolush. That's the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara. So again, let's say you have this treifa spoon on the treifa spoon or the fork or the knife on Pesach that I just made a treif by frying an egg, by making some eggs in the chamizdik frying pan. The chamizdik frying pan is a kli shein ben yomo. But there are more paskins that a kli shein ben yomo is a regular nesen tamlev gam, which I consider like chametz b'mashu. It's considered a mashu of chametz. So we would asa the eggs. Not only would we asa the eggs, we would asa the spoon or the fork as well. Can you kasher the spoon or fork? So normally, how do you have a kasher, a spoon or a fork? You'll do hagola and you'll have shishim in the water. So here it's not going to help to have shishim in the water because chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. What you can do is you can do libun. If you want to do libun, anything that requires hagola, if you do libun is certainly good. Libun is better than hagola. Anything that needs libun, so hagola will not be sufficient. Hagola is less. Hagola only is maflit most of the bliya. It's not maflit to all. Whatever's left, it'll knock it down, it'll convert it into tam kolish. But whenever hagola is sufficient, so libun is certainly good. So if you're going to do libun on Pesach, that's no problem. That you can do, because libun is different from hagola. That's how most of the poskim assume. There's a machlokes about this also. But most of the poskim assume that there's a major difference between Hagola and Liban. Hagola accomplishes that the bliya is removed. It's machlet the yisa. Hashem came Liban. Liban is sorfa b'mkomo. Liban burns out the bliya. It's sorfa mechaleu. So it ceases to exist. So that you can do on Pesach also. By Hagola, the bliya, the chametzdik bliya is going to go into the water. They're not going to help to say that it's bottled b'shish and chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. So then it's going to be nivla back in again. Hashem came by Liban. It's going to be sorfa b'mkomo. The Liban you can do on Pesach. You may ruin the spoon. If you do a Liban, you may ruin your spoon. So we wouldn't recommend that you should do Liban. Would it help to save the spoon and the fork till next year? Let's say this fork or this knife that I just made chametzdik on Pesach, would it help to save it the next year? Why should that help to save it till next year? If it's a chametzdik spoon, why should it help? So there's a big machlokes achrayim about this. Because the din is that chametz b'pesach is b'mashu, but chametz kodem ha-pesach is not b'mashu. Chametz kodem ha-pesach is batel b'shishim. So here the spoon or the fork only became osa because of nosen tam lev gam. The chametz to get frying pan was an ena ben yomo. So it's really mashu. Chametz kodem ha-pesach is b'mashu. So here, when it comes to the Pesach of Shnas Tov Shin Nun Zayin, Habo Lein L'Toivo, next year Pesach, this spoon, this Pesach because spoon became got a bliya of chametz, koidem ha-pesach. Koidem ha-pesach of tavshin nun zayin. When did he get the bliya? On pesach tavshin nun vav. So that's a machlekes of the gdoli achrayim. Do you consider that chametz koidem ha-pesach, which is bottle, or do you say that? No, that's chametz b'pesach. Chametz b'pesach was b'mashu. The fact that it's koidem ha-pesach of next year, that does not, because this year it happened on Pesach, so the chametz is b'mashu. But that's a little strange. If you would have fried the eggs on Isru Chag ha-pesach, of Tavshin Nun Vav. You would have fried the eggs on Isru Chag in the cliche in the menyoma, the chametz dik a frying pan, I would have said that chametz is not b'mashu. So just because I fried it on Pesach a couple of days early on Chalamoy, so that's why I say that chametz is b'mashu and it remains also li'olam vod. And the spoon remains also li'olam vod. So this is the machlok in Sachraidim. Let's say you'll take the fried eggs and you put it in the freezer and you want to save it till next Pesach. If the Meshuggah wants to eat the fried eggs next Pesach. Or he wants to save the spoon, he wants to save the spoon and the fork for next Pesach, and he doesn't want to bother to kasher it. Can he say that chametz kodem ha-pesach is batel? Or would you say, no, that's not called chametz kodem ha-pesach, that's called chametz b'pesach? That's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva Eger. Thank you very much. That's a machlokes between Shuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Heshiv Moshe. The Heshiv Moshe is by the Yismach Moshe. Everybody knows who the Yismach Moshe is. In Hungary, there were three Moshes at the same time. The Hungarians say there were three Gedolim. One of them learned and he knew, one of them didn't learn and he knew, one of them learned and he didn't know. So they say that the Chassam Sofer, his name was Moshe Sofer, he learned and he knew how to learn. And they say that the Yismach Moshe, Moshe Teitelbaum, he didn't learn, he was busy with Chassidus, he didn't learn and he knew how to learn. And the one who learned that he didn't know, they say that that's the Maharam Shik. I don't know, I think the Maharam Shik is better than the other two. But that's how the Hungarians have sized up the situation. So the Heshiv Moshe has a tshuva. This is a machlok, this is a big issue. Among the Moira Haroah, how do you pass on such a shayla? But this comes up all the time, yeah. So what are the two, in general, what are the two ways to kasha? Let's say, stam, I have a tray for spoon, a tray for fork, it became tray by mistake. How do you kasha? Whenever you do Hagola, so the tray for bliya is going to go from the spoon into the water, it's going to go back from the water back into the spoon. So one solution is if you have shishim in the water, so the tray for bliya is going to go, it's going to be bottled b'shishim. So even when it comes back in, it's already bottled b'shishim, so it doesn't make anything also. That eats, it doesn't work b'pesach. Because chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. And erev Pesach, chametz is not b'mashu. The chumra, the chametz, is only... The Rambam says that the reason why chametz is b'mashu is because it's a davar she'esh lo matirin. The chametz is only also on Pesach, and after Pesach is over, and then it turns into heter. And the Gemara says in other places, the Gemara says in Beitza and other mesichtes, that davar she'esh lo matirin, afilo b'yelef lo batlus. According to the Rambam's opinion, chametz would be b'mashu not only on Pesach, even on erev Pesach, and erev Pesach in the afternoon. Erev Pesach in the morning, chametz is mutar. But erev Pesach in the afternoon, the Rambam's opinion would be, the chametz, the erev Pesach would be b'mashu. So there are more rights in Shulchan Aruch. We don't paskin like the Rambam. We paskin the chametz b'Pesach is only b'mashu is mishum chumra the chametz because of kares, because of bal yiroi and bal yimotze, because of lebedili and shimenei. There's nothing at all. It's not because of davar she'esh lo matirin. The Ramban on Daf Lamed taines against the Rambam. The Ramban on the bottom of the rift, the Muhammad taines against the Rambam. How can you say that the chometz b'pesach is b'mashu is because it's a davar sheyesh l'matirin. The chometz shavah l'pesach is b'mashu. The chometz shavah l'pesach is asabano. So it's a davar sheyesh l'matirin. You mean on the level of the raisa, the chometz shavah l'pesach is mutter. We pass in like there's a machlekes satanoim regarding chometz shavah l'pesach, whether it's an isa deraisa or an isa derabbanan. The Mishnah has a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to one Tana, Chomet Sh'over Olav HaPesach, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Chomet Sh'over Olav HaPesach is an Isa Deraisa. It's not a penalty with the Rabbanan because the person violated by Yerov by Matzah. Nivechem to Shal Nachri, Sh'over Olav HaPesach will be Osir. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's on the bottom of Chav Chesem and Aleph. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the Chomet Sh'over Olav HaPesach is an Isa Deraisa. The Gemara says, Hilchasa, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. And Chav Tesem and Aleph, there was a whole discussion of Chav Chesem and Beis, Chav Tesem and Aleph. We paskin not like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin the Chomet Sh'over Olav HaPesach is not a Nisa Deraisa, it's only a Nisa Derabbanon, and it's a penalty. Knosuhu Dekonis Rabbi Shimon, Hoyel Ba'over Alevi Ba'al Yerov Ba'i Motzei, so it's only Chemtu Shal Yisrael Sh'over Olav HaPesach. And the Chemtu Shal Nachri Sh'over Olav HaPesach, so the Nachri didn't violate Ba'al Yerov Ba'i Motzei, so then there's no din of Chomet Sh'over Olav HaPesach. The same Shaila would be, the Gemara says, the same Shaila. What about the chametz dikik pots and pans that you have? And daf lamed amud aleph, the Gemara says. What about all the chametz dikik pots and pans? So the Gemara says beferish that there's no din of bal yirah bay matzah and bli askelim. Bal yirah bay matzah is only on food. If you have bread, if you have schnapps, if you have soup that has a little chametz mixed into it, if you have a michael that has a taruvus of chametz, then there's a bal yirah deraisa, bal yirah derabbanan. We spoke about it yesterday. The first tesis in Elu Oivin. But on Bli Askelim, there's no din about Yerov Ba'i Matzah. So the Gemara says, even though there's no problem about Yerov Ba'i Matzah on Bli Askelim, still, when it comes Pesach, you have the chametz, you have the Bli in your possession, like we just said before. The person cooks a korban chatos in a pot, and he eats up the whole korban chatos before chatzos, and he washes out the pot, and he puts it back in the cabinet, and when it comes a quarter to five in the morning, Alos HaShach, and the next morning, the Chumash says that it becomes Nifsal Bolina. So the Isalina is Chal on a Blias Kalim when everything was Beheter. He cooked Beheter. He ate everything up before Chatzos. He did everything that he was supposed to do. And still the Chumash says in Parashas Tzav that the pot becomes treif when it comes a quarter to five in the morning, when it comes Alois HaShachar, because the Bli and the pot, they become Nifsal Bolina. So the same thing over here, the Gemara says, if you hold like Rav Shimon, that's how we pass. The chomet shover all of haPesach is a knas midrabbanan. The chover over alevi bal yirah bay matzah, a penalty to deter people from violating bal yirah bay matzah. They think they're going to get away with it, so we tell them if you have chomet and your reshus, it becomes also bachil bano. So then it doesn't apply. The knas midrabbanan doesn't apply to bli askelim because on bli askelim there is no iser bal yirah bay matzah. But if the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, it isn't. If the din would have been like Rabbi Yehuda, the chomet sh'over all of our Pesach is an isa deraisa, it's not a knas from the Rabbanan. And even if nobody violated by Yerov Ba'i Matzah at all, even chemtze shol nachri sh'over all of our Pesach, all chomets on Pesach becomes also l'yoylam v'ay. So if you say like that, so even the b'liyas kelim also, I did everything I was supposed to, I ate up all the chomets, I destroyed all the chomets on our Pesach, and I washed out the pots and pans and I put them away. When it comes Leil Pesach, the pot becomes chometz, not sh'over l'va Pesach, chometz bit Pesach. Chometz bit Pesach becomes treif, and it becomes treif, li'oy l'voy. So the pot is going to remain also li'oy l'voy. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says, that according, if the din would have been like Rav Yehuda, you would have to kasha all of your chometz dikekelim every year, not because of the issue of Bal Yerov Ba'i Matzah. No, there's no Bal Yerov Bli Askelim. But even though there's no violation of Rabbi Matzah, the pots would be treif because of Chomet Sh'over Olav HaPesach. Chomet Sh'over Olav HaPesach is not kosher with the Yisr Bar Rabbi Matzah. And if you would have earthenware pots and pans that are non-kosherable, that you cannot do Hagolah, so the Gemara says you would have to throw out all the pots and pans every year. That's what the Gemara says. Rav held halacha lemaise like Rav Yehuda. The chomet sh'over l'va Pesach is an iser not because of Bal Yerov Ba'i Matzah. So the Gemara says that Rav told his balabatim they have to kasher all the metal pots and pans, and they have to throw out all of the kederis. The kederis means shalcheris, those that are made from earthenware that you can't do hagolah on. You have to throw them all out. So the merchants who were selling the pots and pins were making, they were cleaning out the balabatim. Every year they would come, they charged, every year when it came Pesach, they charged a fortune. Everybody had to throw out all the pots and pins and buy everything new. Not only did they have to have separate kelim for Pesach, every year they had to throw out the chamzikah kelim. The chamzikah kelim became trade. And they were earthenware, they were non-kasherable. So the Gemara tells a story that Shmuel did not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Shimon. That's how we hold. The chamzikah over all Pesach is only a penalty to the Rabbanon because you violated by your Rabbi Matzah. But if you didn't violate, on the B'liyas Kelim there's no violation, so there's no din of Chamash Olah Pesach. So the Gemara says that Shmuel was traveling through Rab's community, and he saw that the merchants were charging way too much for the new pots and pans, so he warned them they better lower their prices, or he's going to let the secret out that he disagrees with Rab, and he holds that the Balabatim don't have to throw out their pots and pans. So the Gemara says, why didn't he make the statement in public? Because he says, no, Rav was the Mara D'Asra. It was Rav's community, so the Balabatna have to listen to Rav. But the merchants were charging way too much. So he said, he warned the merchants, if they don't charge a decent price, then he's gonna let it be known that he disagrees with Rav. The Balabatna are not allowed to listen to Shmuel. Rav is their Mara D'Asra, but some of the Balabatna will not follow their Mara D'Asra. If there's a Pesach is Mekel, so they listen to the Gemara has the expression, Matlo Yagidlo, people like to listen to the Shitas HaMekilim. So the Gemara says that he warned them and they knocked down their prices. This is one of the Gemaras that the conservatives quote. You see that the rabbis changed the law whenever there's economic consideration. The Shmuel changed the law because they were charging too much money. So if you read the Gemara, it doesn't say that he changed the law because of economic consideration. Shmuel always held, the Gemara says, Shmuel always held that din is like Reb Shimon. The Chomet Sha'aval Aval Pesach is only a Knas from the Rabbanon. And just like Chemtel Shalakum Sha'aval Aval Pesach, there's no Chomet, there's no Issa. So too on the Bli Askelim, there was no Bal Yura Bai Matzah, so there's no din of Chomet Sha'aval Aval Pesach. But it was Rab is the Mar Dasra, and Rab Pesach was like Reb Yudah, the Chomet Sha'aval Aval Pesach is their Issa. So the Bli Askelim is a problem. But Shmuel just said, he's going to let it be known that he disagrees with Rab. And some of the Balabatim will not listen to their Maradasa. Some of them will be Maker like him. So that was enough to threaten the merchants.
We pass like Rav Yisur Bedinah?
Do we pass them like Rav?
Rav Yisur, we pass like Rav.
Yeah.
So why do we pass like Shmuel?
See, the Gemara says we pass like Shmuel. The Gemara says this is an exception because the Stam Mishnah is like Shmuel. The Stam Mishnah in Chav Ches Amid Aleph, where the Gemara explains it, is like Shmuel. Right? There are exceptions to the rule. That's a good point. Usually, he points out, usually the Gemara says, we follow Rav's opinions and only in Issa V'Het, and we follow Shmuel's opinions in Vidi Mominus. And here we follow Shmuel. Right, this is an exception to the rule. So again, how do you ever kasher, you have a tray for spoon. So how do you ever kasher, let's say, a tray for spoon that you use for tray for soup? So you do hagolah. When you do hagolah, the tray for bleah goes out, is going to come back in. So the answer is, you have shishim in the water. But if it's chametz Pesach, the shishim is not going to help. What if it's not a spoon? A spoon is not so big, so it's possible to have a big soup pot that has the volume of the water will be 60 times the size of the spoon. What if you have a tray for pot? And you have to put the tray for pot into another pot. The other pot is not 60, the volume of the water in the other pot is not 60 times the volume of the tray for pot that you're going to put in. So you don't have shishim. So then you always have to have such a gigantic pot that's 60 times as big. So Tosis writes there in the last daf in Avodah Zarah, there's another way to solve the problem, even if you don't have shishim in the water. Wait till the kli that you want a kasher is an Eina Ben Yomo. How will that solve the problem? So the Gemara says, attack on the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah, that whenever a kli, the Gemara has a few times in Avodah Zarah, Maseches Pesachim, whenever a kli, a trefa kli, has not been used for trefas in 24 hours, so leaving out the din of Hilchas Pesach that we just went through, and Kol HaTorah Kulo, that would have the status of a kli Sheni Beyoma, has the status of Nosin Tam of Gam, and it would not ask us. So the Gemara asks, so why do you have to kasher a trefa kli? Why don't you just wait 24 hours and it'll be kasher? So the Gemara says, Menatorah, that is the din. Liyasu Torah l'kadera bas yoyma. When it says in the Chumash that you have to kasher kelim in Parshas Tzav and in Parshas Matos, it's only talking about a kadera bas yoyma. Once a kadera is ain't a bas yoyma, Menatorah, there's no need to kasher. And the need, the requirement to kasher a kli, which hasn't been used for treifas in 24 hours, is only midirabbanan. That's gzeira. Ain't a ben yomo, otu ben yomo. That's how the Gemara says in the list, Daf and Avodah Zarah. It's exerated, Ben Yom, Ben Yom. Just parenthetically, it's interesting that the Ritzvah, And that Gemara in the end of Amud Azar quotes from his Rebbe, the Ra'or, Rabbaran Alevi. Rabbaran Alevi was the Talmud of the Ramban, the one who wrote the Hasavas on the Rashbo. So the Ritvo quotes from Rabbaran Alevi. The Ritvo is usually very sharp. He got that from the Ra'or, Rabbaran Alevi, and his brother, Rapinchas Alevi. They're always very sharp. They were descendants from the Rabbeinu Zrachya Halevi, the Balamor. He was always something very different. Their family are always different, Abu Lefya family. So the Rabbaran Halevi is quoted by the Ritvon, the end of Avodah Zarah, that he only had one set of dishes all year long. He didn't have fleshiks and milchiks. And he used to cook whatever, fleshiks, and wait 24 hours, and use it for milchiks. Then he cooked milchiks, and he waited 24 hours, used it for fleshiks. He had to keep cheshmen, he had to keep track which was just used within 24 hours. So the Talmidim asked him, "I, the Gemara made Gzeira in Ben Yom, Ben Yom." So he said, "No, the Gzeira only applies when it's treif, when it's Yisura Bola. When it's a Tera Bola, if you cook flesh, it's a milchix. You didn't do anything wrong. Everything is kosher." So they never made such a Gzeira de Rabbanan. So he only had one set of dishes. So the Talmidim were pleading with him, "Avada, the Rebbe is right. They're not going to argue with him. Avada, the Rebbe is right. But everybody holds that you're crazy." He says, "Mishum Arisayin, you should." So he said, "No, right is right. I'm right and they're wrong." So here's this. He had a lot of very different things. Rabbanan Alevi, Rapinchas Alevi. In learning in Hanhagas, everything is very different. He only had one set of dishes. But generally his opinion is not accepted, it's not even mentioned. Shulchan Aruch, they don't even bring up this issue. We assume that you have to have separate sets of dishes, that there's a Gzeira de Rabbanan and a Klishe in a Menyong. So this Gzeira de Rabbanan, Tosis points out in the last daf in Avodah Zarah, this Gzeira de Rabbanan, to Aser, a Klishe in a Menyong, Ata Menyong, was only instituted in a situation where the Tchilas Avliya was L'Shvach. Somebody cooked some chazer in a pot, somebody cooked some trefa soup in a pot, so got a bliya when it was nice and tam l'shvach, and then you waited, they emptied it out, you waited 24 hours, even though minat Torah there's no need to kasher the pot, but in the Rabbanan you have to kasher the pot. Gzeira ein ben yom ata ben yom. What happens, let's say for example, I have a trefa pot that hasn't been used for 24 hours, and now by mistake I'm supposed to kasher it out, mid the Rabbanan, I forgot to kasher it out. Now I cooked some kosher soup in the pot. I cooked some kosher chicken in the pot. So is there a gzeira ein ben yom ata ben yom? If I would have cooked the chicken within 24 hours, would it become treif, tam kikah? The treif of leaf would go from the pot into the kosher chicken. So do you say that even in the cliche ein ben yom, gzeira ein ben yom ata ben yom, so the chicken is aser if you cooked in the cliche ein ben yom? So the Taisa says no, that the gzeira ein ben yom ata ben yom only is instituted in the gear to the pot where the tchilas adliya was l'shvach. Originally, when the treif of bliya was nivel into the gdeira, it was a noisen tam l'shvach. Then, by sitting in the charsis of gdeira for 24 hours, it turned into a noisen tam l'gam. But if I cooked in the pot after 24 hours went by, I cooked the vegetable soup or I cooked chickens in the pot, so the tchilas habliya into the chicken from the pot, the tchilas habliya is l'gam. So whenever the tchilas habliya is l'gam, so there isn't even a gzeira de rabbanan, ain't a ben yom or a ben yom. So Tosis says based on that. Tosis says based on that, and Yeridek, rather they quote the Tshuvas HaRashbo in the second Chelek Yeridek. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tshuvas HaRashbo that what if a person bemezid cooks kosher food in a pot that's an Eina Ben Yomo? I have a tray for pot that's a cliche Eina Ben Yomo, and I know I'm not allowed to use it. Gzeira Eina Ben Yomo, Ata Ben Yomo. It's a Gzeira de Rabban. I go ahead and I cook some kosher food in a pot anyway, in violation of the Gzeira. So the Mechaber quotes the Rashbo's Tshuva. That it's like Eim Avat Nisa L'chadchilat in Bitloy, there's a penalty with the Rabbonon. There are a lot of things that you're not allowed to do. And if you went ahead, let's say, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, on a Bashal for Shabbos, but maybe you're not allowed to be Nene from Alecha Shabbos. You're not allowed to plant during Shnas HaShemitah, and if a person planted during Shnas HaShemitah, so there's a penalty, you have to rip out the tree. The Gemara has a whole series in Perek HaNizok and a whole Daf Gemara with a series of Knossos with the Rabbonon. So the Rashba and the Tshuva quoted by the Mechaber said that penalty with the Rabbanan applies in this instance also. A person takes a trefa pot and he knows that he's not allowed to use it for cooking kosher food and he doesn't care. He violates the use of the Rabbanan. So the Rashba says that there's a penalty with the Rabbanan that your food becomes treif. So Rav Moshe and other Paskim say that even though that's written in the Shulchan Aruch and even though nobody says anything about it, we don't Paskim like that. We don't Paskim like that, Rashba. We paskin that whenever the tchilas habliya was lufgam, even if he cooked the mezin in the treifa pot, the klishe ein ben yom, since the tchilas habliya into the kosher soup or the kosher chicken was lufgam, so there's no gzeira de rabbanan. So Tosis says, whenever you kasher, let's say, the treifa spoon and the treifa fork, there's another way to solve your problem, the problem being the bliya is going to go from the fork or from the spoon into the water, and it's going to go back from the water into the spoon. So one solution is have shishim in the water against the spoon. What if the pot is so big? You can't have shishim in the water against the pot. So Tosfos says, save the pot. Don't do hagola on the trefa pot till it's going to be an ein ben yom. Then the whole need for hagola will only be midirabbanan. So the pot has to have a hagola because the tchilas avliyah was l'shvach. Originally, when I cooked trefas in the pot, it was nice and tam l'shvach. But now when the treif avliyah is going to go into the water, the tchilas avliyah is going to be lifgam into the water. So even though the avliyah is going to go back from the water into the pot, it always goes back. Whenever you kasher anything, the avliyah goes into the water and then it goes back in. So even though the avliyah is going to go back into the pot, but this time it's going to be tchilas avliyah lifgam, so that's why there's no problem. The tchilas avliyah is lifgam, so there's no problem. So that's what Tosfos says. Whenever you want to kasher any kelim, you either have to wait till the trefa kli is in any ben yomo, so the tchilas avliyah will be lefgam, so when it's chozer v'nivla back into the pot that you're kashering, it won't pose a problem, or you have to see to it that you have shishim in the water against the kli. The exception to the rule, Tosfos says, is if you have a hetera bola. Tosfos says, what if you have, let's say, for example, I have a kli which is milchik. It's really supposed to be a parabakli. By accident it became milchik. And I want to kasher it to make it back into parava. Usually there's an issue whether you're allowed to kasher. The Magen Avraham in Hilchas Yontov quotes a chumra from one of the Achronim that you're not allowed to kasher. It's not the minig is, that's what he says, the minig is that you don't kasher from milchik to fleshik or fleshik to milchik. You only kasher from treif. Treif are things you kasher, but something the milchik you don't kasher. So some say, some claim there is no such minig. Svardim don't have such a minig. Even my Ashkenaz and Dar HaShulchan says he never heard of such a minig. And others are very insistent on observing this minig. And others make compromises. So there are many poskim hold like this. That, let's say you got to take all of milchik pots and milchik silverware to make it parve. That's against the minig. But let's say I have parve silverware and by mistake something became milchik. So then most of the poskim would be making on such a case that you may kasher it. So let's say you have such a case. I have something which is always parve. Then the wife went away for 2 minutes, and then the husband was cooking around in the kitchen. So by mistake, he took something milchik, he took something parvi, he made it milchik. So there is such a case, we would pass, and Allah said, we would allow you to do hagol on such a thing. So the issue that you're talking over here is it's not a treifer spoon, it's a milchik spoon. Milchik spoon is a tera bola, it's kosher. So Tosfos says, in that case, you would neither need shishim in the water against the spoon, nor would you need to wait till the spoon is an ena ben yomo. You would need neither. Aye, but the milchik flavor is going from the spoon into the water, then it's going to go back again from the burning hot water into the spoon. What's going to prevent it to go back in? So Tosfos says that's not a problem. We have a Gemara in Chulin that calls that not by not the heter. Not by not is a Rashi Tei. Nice and tam, bar, nice and tam. The spoon has a milchik liya, so I do a hagola, so that's tam rishon. Milk is milchik. The spoon has a bli of milchik, so that's called nice and tam. So the nice and tam goes from the spoon into the water, that's called not by not. That's the second tam. Then the bli goes back from the water back into the spoon, that's called a nice and tam by nice and tam by nice and tam. That's a great grandchild of the original milk. The original milk was nibbled into the spoon, then it went into the water, then it went back from the water into the spoon, and it still didn't become bas b'cholov. It's still only milchik, it didn't become bas b'cholov. So if you have a not by not, if you have a nois and tam by nois and tam, usually that's enough to say that it's only a tam kolush, and an isa basa b'cholo cannot set in on it. But over here you're dealing with a not by not ayidei bishul, because you're putting the milchik spoon into burning hot water. So everything is burning hot. So not by not ayidei bishul, we have a chumra to say that it doesn't go down a madrega, it's not considered a tam kolush. But if it's a not by not by not, even though it's ayidei bishul, then all the Rishonim say that that's for sure in Lahakil. So that's what you have over here. There is no milk on the spoon. It just has a bliya in the spoon. So that's nice and tam. The bliya goes from the spoon into the water. That's nice and tam by nice and tam. Ayidei bishul. Then it goes back from the water into the spoon. So it's a nice and tam by nice and tam by nice and tam. So even though it's ayidei bishul, that's heter gomer. And it didn't become basa b'chalim yet. I didn't mix anything in with any flesh yet. So then the spoon is considered parva. So the Rishonim say, there are more rights in Hilchas Pesach. If you're kashering chametz dike bechers or chametz dike kelim before Pesach, before Chatzois, and Erev Pesach, then you neither have to be medakdeik. You don't have to be medakdeik that you should have shishim in the water, nor do you have to be medakdeik that the chametz kli should be an ene ben yom, or that it hasn't been used for chametz in 24 hours, you need neither chumrah, because chametz kodem is mana, is also hetera bola. It's kosher. When Pesach comes, when Erev Pesach comes in the afternoon, then the Issa chametz sets in. But before Erev Pesach, there's no Issa chametz. So Tosfos writes, Tosfos over here on Laman Amid Beis, the top Tosfos on Laman Amid Beis, is bothered with Akasha. How come it says here in the Gemara in Pesachim that you do Hagolah? When you have chametz the kikelim and you want to cash them for Pesach, you do Hagolah. The Tosfos, some should need Libun, some should need Hagolah. How come it just says that everything is Hagolah? So Tosfos comes up with this answer. Od yesh lechalek ben hetera bola ben isura bola kine mechalek Ravashi besoif maseches avodah zarah. On the last daf in Gemara Avodah Zarah, Ravashi resolved the apparent contradiction between the Pesukim and Parshas Tzav and the Parshas Matos by saying that whenever it's hetera bola, it's always enough with Hagola. Whenever it's isura bola, then sometimes you need libut. Whenever it was nivalai dehoesh. So that's what Tosfos says. Hetera bola, there are three examples. One example is when you cook the korban in the pot before it became noisa. That's hetera bola. Another example would be if you cook milchiks in the pot, so you would never need libun, it would always be sufficient with hagola. The third example Tosfos holds is chametz kodem apesa. Chametz kodem is manoi. It's hetera bola. So Tosfos holds you never need any libun, hagola is always enough. And that's the Tosfos lishitasam and the last daf in Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam quotes it in the beginning of Hilchos Hagola, Tafnun Aleph. The Rambam quotes that if you're kashering chametz de kekelim, kodem is man isura, kodem apesa, kodem erev pesach, efech hatzois. So you neither have to be medaktik that you should have shishim in the water against the chametz de kekli, nor do you have to be medaktik that the chametz de kekli should be an ena ben yom. Even if it is a ben yom and there's no shishim, it's going to be a not by not by not the hetera. The chametz de kekli in the chametz de kekli, that's tam rishon, goes into the water tam shein, it's going to go back from the water into the pot, into the chametz de kekli from before, it's going to be a tam shlishi, and it's still not Pesach, it's still erev Pesach. So it's a not by not by not, even though it's aydei bishul, is hetero. The shaila is when you look in Hilchas Hagola though, we don't paskin like this Tosfos on that lamed amud beis. We paskin that chametz de kekelim sometimes Hagola is sufficient and sometimes you need libud. Is the hakasha, but Tosfos quotes the Gemara in the last daf in Avodah Zarah that whenever you have hetero bola, you never need libud. Hagola is always sufficient. So the answer appears in the Ramban, the Chidush, the Ran on the Rif on that lamed amud beis quotes from the Ramban, who disagrees with the Rabbi Natan, disagrees with Tosfos. He says, when can you say that something is a terabola? If it's a korban before it became noisa, or if you have basar or chalav before it became basar b'chalav. So that's called a terabola. Because the korban is not yet noisa. Till it comes alos ha-shachar, it's not noisa. When you have only basar or chalav alone, you don't have basar b'chalav, it's mamash a tera. It doesn't have the shame ha-iser. But here, chametz, kodem ha-pesach, the Ramban uses the expression chametz shmo olav. It has the same chametz all year long, it's called chametz. But only when it comes Pesach, it's endowed with the title, with the label of chametz. All year long it's chametz. The only thing is, the chametz all year long is mutter. When it comes Pesach, so it's an isah to eat the chametz. So the Ramban holds that you cannot consider chametz, kodem ha-pesach, as hetera bola, because it already has the same chametz on it. What is it going to help you? Going to say that it's a isah, a tam kolush, and the chametz cannot, the Yisr chametz cannot be chalad. What do you mean? It already was chametz from before Pesach. It already was chametz all along, all year long it's chametz. So the Ramban disagrees with the whole thing. So we paskin like the Ramban and Shulchan Aruch that you sometimes need libun and chametz dike kelim. And nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, the Ramah quotes this hefer. When you kasher chametz dike kelim ayde hagola before kodim zmani suro, there's neither need to have shishim in the water against the kelim, nor is there need to have that the chametz de kekelim should be ena ben yomo, because it's always going to be mutter because of not by not by not the hetera, just like kashering fleshig kelim or milch kelim. So this is a stira in the Pesach and the Shulchan Aruch. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Tosfos or like the Ramban? Tosfos shita is the chametz kodem zman is hetera bola. Ramban holds the chametz kodem zman is isura bola. And there are two nafkaminas ledina. One nafkamina is regarding the nafkamina between the two hetera bola and isura bola is when you have a tam kolosh, the yisur cannot set in on a tam kolosh. So there are two cases that we consider tam kolosh. One is when it's not banat, consider that a tam kolosh, and the yisur cannot be chal on a not banat. And the other example of a tam kolosh is if you have a kli that really should have required libun, and instead you did hagolah. So that's also called a tam kolosh. And we say the yisur cannot be chal on a tam kolosh. That's a stira in the Pesach and Shulchan Aruch. On the one hand, we paskin that you sometimes need libul. That's like the Ramban, that we treat chametz koyim mizman as isurabola. And on the other hand, we say the heter of not banat, that we treat it like a terabola. So this kasha was asked by all the mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz and the Magen Avraham and the Biragwan, everybody asked the kasha. And they all say that Mikra Adin, we really paskin like Taisvis, that chametz koyim mizman is really a terabola, and it's just lechumra bialma that we require libun. Mikra Adin, hagola would always be sufficient. But because of this machlokes, because of this stira in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Bir Halacha, that the proper thing is to be machmir all the way. The proper thing is to be machmir like the Ramban all the way, that you shouldn't do hagola on a pot, even koyim mizman is surah, unless you know that you have shishim in the water against the pot. Or you know that the chametz bigger pot is an ein ben yom. That's the chumra of the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha. He quotes Achrayim that you should be machmir like the Ramban all the way. What do you mean running water?
The water is running, so does that pipe can go out and come back in, or do you want to
say that? I mean the bleah won't be able to be absorbed back in. Yeah, that would be good, but how can you have such a hechetimt when you do, let's say if I cooked treifis, I cooked chametz in a pot, so I have to do hagola in the same type of heat. So if the chametz was nivla by bishul, so then the hagola has to be by putting the chametz in a pot into a pot of burning hot water. If the chametz dikah pot was nivla by cooking spaghetti in it, then I can't do a hagol just by pouring burning hot water on top. If let's say you have a kli that was only balea ide irui, it was only balea by pouring chametz dikah liquid on top of it, so then that can have a hagol ide irui. So then you wouldn't have the problem of being chayzev and nivla back again. But if the bleah was Aydei Bishul, then the Hagala has to be Aydei Bishul. This Chumra that we have from the Gemara Daf Lamed, the Chometz, the Pesach, is the Mashu, that's only when you're dealing with Chometz. Let's say some people are Machmer and Gebrox. So let's say a tiny little bit of a matzah falls into a big pot full of soup and you have shisha. So they tell a story that once a balabasta came to ask a shayla, a little bit of matzah fell in, so the chassidish rebbe said, we don't have a din that matzah is b'mashu, the din is only chametz b'mashu. The pashtus is that the worst it can be is that there's a little bit of chametz. A chametz is really bottled b'shishma, it's a chumra m'derabon. So you're not mechayev to have a chumra, agabi chumra, to say that the gibrox is also not bottled b'shishma. That's far we don't go. What about kidneys? We mentioned the Taisus on Mem and Beis quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Hananel, who interprets the Gemara, that the Amoraim were machmer, where the people are not Bnei Torah, where the people are not medaktik and itzis. So the proper thing is to be machmer, not to allow kidneys. So that's our practice, the minig of the Ashkenazim, we don't allow kidneys. So what if you have a little bit of kidneys got mixed in with other stuff? For example, all of the sodas all year long, instead of using sugar, which is much more expensive, so they use cornstarch sweetener, which is much less expensive, but we treat that as kidneys. The corn, the meaning is that Ashkenazim don't eat corn on Pesach, so that's so the cornstarch is considered kidneys. So for Pesach they use a difference. So let's say by mistake you bought some non-kosher Pesach soda. So the worst the problem is going to be, it's not a problem of chametz, it's a problem of kidneys. So strictly speaking, the dinner is, even though you can taste the sweetener, you can taste the flavor. That gives it the whole flavor. So it's clearly not bottled b'shishim. So nonetheless, there are more rights than Mikra Adin. All you need is the roif, the corn starch that they mix, the corn syrup that they mix in, the sweetener, is less than 50%. So the dinner is that it's going to be bottled b'roif. So why do you have to have a hashgacha on the kosher l'Pesach soda? The dinner that is bottled b'roif. So why do you have to spend so much tircha to make a hashgacha? So the stam of the answer is that there's a dinner, the name of Atan Isa L'chatchila. Whatever we don't eat, so L'chatchila you're not allowed to mix it in. Yeah. Why is the name of Atan Isa L'chatchila? It's already mixed in the store. It's already sold in the store. So I just go to the store and I pick it up, I buy it. So we're machmed that that's also a violation of aim of Atan Isa L'chatchila. If I have a choice, I can either buy... I can buy two types of soda. One of them has an isa that was mixed in where the isa was already in this bottle, the isa being kidneys, that the minig Ashkenazim is that we don't eat kidneys. So one of them has kidneys that's mixed in, it's bottled beroiv. It's not bottled b'shishim, it's nice and tam, but it's bottled beroiv. And the other one doesn't have any kidneys at all. So if you can buy either A or B, and they're approximately the same price, if one of them is going to be twice as expensive as the first one, so that's not called Epsha, that's not considered that you have the brera to avoid it. But if you can easily avoid relying on the bittel beroiv, that, and you choose to use the one that's bottled beroiv, so that itself is a violation of Eimer Vatlan Yisrael Lachatchila. That's how Achreidim have an idea. Where did they get this idea from? Where did this come from? That also comes from Sochem. Comes from Beitza, but also comes from Sochem. The Gemara says in the last part from Sochem that there's a mitzvah in the Rabbanon that you should have Haseber when you drink the Abukosis when you eat the matzah. So the Gemara says it's not exactly true the way I said it. You don't really need Haseber for the Abukosis. The Gemara says you only need Haseber for two out of the four kaisis. The only question is that there are two versions, which of the two kaisis need Haseber? Should I say the first two kaisis is when we're talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim? The last two kaisis we already finished. We're not talking about any more Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim. The last two kaisis is benching and challah has nothing to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's all over already. So you don't need Haseber for the last two. Or should you say just the reverse? The first two kaisis, we're still puffing our way through the Shibud Mitzrayim. We only are considering ourselves as if we're free. When we finish Asher Gyaldan of Golas Arasim, then we're finished. For the last two cases, then you need Haseber. For the last two cases, we're B'nei Chayim. The first two cases, we're not yet B'nei Chayim. So because there were two Lashonis in the Gemara, which of the Abba cases needs Haseber, whether the first two or the last two? So the Gemara says, therefore, we are Machmer to require Haseber on all four cases. So the Ran on the Rif has a famous discussion. Why is it famous? Because the Mishlei Melech quoted it, and he has a whole, has a steer in two runs, a run over here and a run in Megillah, is a steer, and it's Negel Alocha for the Hetem Mechirish, Nasa Shmita, and Eretz Yisrael. That's how this run became famous. The Beis Halevi starts Chela Gimel, and Shuvah's Beis Halevi with a few Shuvahs about the Hetem Mechirish, Nasa Shmita. He starts with this run. He discusses this. So that's why it's famous. So historically, it's famous. It's not more important than any other run, but historically, it's more famous than the other run. So the run, Yestakasha, if you're not sure whether the first two kaisis need a seber, the second two kaisis need a seber, so the whole din of a seber is only with the Rabbanim. So why don't you say Sveika the Rabbanim Lekula? So pick whichever two kaisis you want. Let's say, how do you come to this bizarre conclusion you need a seber on all four? Have a seber for the first two, and then finish. So Sveika the Rabbanim Lekula. Say you were Yoitzi already on the first two. You can't say, let's say in advance, you're going to say, don't do a seber on the first two. Maybe those are the ones that need a seber. But if you already had a seber on the first two, so finished already. So what do you have to bother to do a seber on the second two? So the Ran has two terutzim on this kash. One terutz is that whenever you have such a sveika, the Rabban Lakuba, well, you're going to have a tarte de sasa. So if you're going to be mekel on this, you're machmer on that. If you're going to be mekel on this, you're machmer on that. And you don't know which way to go. And each sad carries with it a chumrah. If you're mekel on this, it means you got to be machmer on that. You're not sure which one needs a seber. So if you have such a situation, then the halacha requires, strictly, the halacha requires you have to be machmer on both. You're not allowed to say sveika the rabbanu lekula and a tied to the sasra. You cannot just pick arbitrarily to be mekel on one and machmer on the other one. So therefore the halacha requires that you have to be machmer on both. That's how the Avnei Nezer says. Why is it that Bein Hashmashos of Tisha B'Av is lechumra? How come you're not permitted to eat on Bein Hashmashos of Tisha B'Av? Bein Hashmashos of all the other Tanesim is lekula. The Gemara says in Sochem, you're allowed to eat Bein Hashmashos of the Tanaisim, except the Bein Hashmashos of Yom Kippur and our Tisha B'Av. No, Bein Hashmashos of Yom Kippur is Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra, that we understand. But Tisha B'Av is only with the Rabbanon. It's not even with the Kabbalah B'Zman Hazeh. The Rashbo and Rosh Hashanah writes. Rabbi Eliezer quotes that Rashbo. He says the Taz wasn't aware of the Rashbo. He says the Rashbo wasn't printed yet in the 1600s, in the days of the Taz, and he didn't have a Rashbo. He says, but we have a Rashbo, so we know that the fasting on Tisha B'Av B'Zman Hazeh is not with the Kabbalah. It's only with the Rabbanon. So why aren't we make Bein Hashmashos like on the other Tanaisim? So he says, no. The difference between Tisha B'Av and the other Tanaisim is that you're dealing with two Bein Hashmashoses. And the other Tanaisim is only one Bein Hashmashos to deal with, because you don't have to fast the night before. So dealing with one Bein Hashmashos is Zog L'Kula. Bein Hashmashos is Dina Kalai L'Fartik. But Tisha B'Av, you have two Bein Hashmashos. So you want to be Mekel on the first one. That means you got to be Machma on the second one. You want to be Mekel on the second one, it's going to be Machma on the first one. So it's going to be a Tarte de Sasri. So which one should we choose to be Mekel on? So he says, that's the Din of Yeridea, the last Simon, and the first Chelek Yeridea, Simon Kufi Rav, that's the Simon of Shtei Kederis. If I have two pots of kosher food cooking, and have an Issa Derabbanon, not Chazer Shmaltzin, Issa Deraisa, Chazer Derabbanon. A little bit of trefa food that's only awesome, and the Rabbanon fell into the one pot or the other. I don't know which pot it fell into. And the worst it can be is going to be an Issa Derabbanon that fell in. So he says, you have no right to pick out, you can't be mata both pots, the chatai to the sasri. You can't pick out arbitrarily and say, well, this pot, I like vegetable soup, I don't like mushroom soup. So I'm going to be making on the vegetable soup and let the other people not eat the mushroom soup. So that's an arbitrary decision. How can you pick arbitrarily to ask the one to be mata the other one? So you have no choice, you have to ask the both. So that's what the Ran gives one answer over here. Since the Gemara says we're not sure which of the abacuses needs a saver, and which don't need a saver. So you cannot say, if you're going to say svek, if you're going to be mekel on this, you're going to be machman that, you're going to be mekel on that, machman that. So each one carries with it a chum and a kula. And you can't pick arbitrarily, so you have to be machman both. That's one answer that the Ran gives. Then the Ran gives another answer. What's a big deal? So difficult, such a difference, whether you drink like this or you drink like this, it's a big deal. So Sekh the Rabbon Lakula is going to be a hefsed moment. If you're going to say Lachumra, you're going to have to throw it out, you're going to have to sell it to the event, you're going to have to feed it to the dogs. Such a big sin is whether you drink the Arbe Kaisis or the Haseba, so you may as well say Sekh the Rabbon Lakula. The only time you have a right to say Sekh the Rabbon Lakula, if it's going to be a Tircha. That's the second answer. Both answers are correct. The both answers are quoted La Halach and Shulchanah. That second answer is the Kavsfira Saimed Deraisa. But Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayim, nobody's bringing any mincha soimer, so then the Gemara seems to come to the at least one opinion of the Gemara. Amema holds that Sfira Saimed Bizman is there, is only the Rabbah. So that's how Taisus Paskin. Taisus and the Ram Paskin like that. The Rambam never writes like that. The Rambam sounds like holes. Like the Goyim, that Sfira Saimed Bizman is there, is Deraisa. The Rambam understood the Gemara in Menachis that in the last light in the Gemara they backed out. And you get to the Maskana Sasugya, the Gemara backs out from Amem, and they hold the Sfira Saimi Bizman is there as their Isa. That's a topic Bifnei Atzma. What's the issue involved? Whether Sfira Saimi Bizman is there should be their Isa, their Rabbanim. So some say that the issue is when the Torah says, Miyom Haviyachem Esayim Atnufa, how do you translate the words of the Chumash? Is it, the Torah is just identifying Tezayin Nissen. Tezayin Nissen is the day on which we normally bring the Mincha Saimi. But even Bizman Mangrama, which on the mitzvah says to Shaleh as Mangrama that women are exempt from, women are mechuyevim. So the Ramban writes Sfira Soimer, women are mechuyevim because that's a mitzvah says to Shaleh as Mangrama. So all the Akhrenim ask, it doesn't make any sense. How is that possible? Ein l'chol z'man grama, God mizeh. You have to count the days. Of course it's z'man grama. So several Akhrenim give the same answer. That's interesting, was given by the Maharam Chalavah. One of the late Rishonim already gives this answer. It's interesting, the Maharam Chalavah passed away, and his son writes that his father died and he heard so much Torah from the father, he's afraid he's going to forget it, so he just got up from Shiva. He's going to write down everything that he heard from his father that he shouldn't forget. So we have 1.5 pages. 1.5 pages. Like Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away. And everybody's forgetting everything that because that's a mitzvah says for Shaleh Azman Grama. So all the Akhrenim ask, it doesn't make any sense. How is that possible? Ein l'chol z'man grama, God mizeh. You have to count the days. Of course it's z'man grama. So several Akhrenim give the same answer. That's interesting, was given by the Maharam Chalavah. One of the late Rishonim already gives this answer. It's interesting, the Maharam Chalavah passed away, and his son writes that his father died and he heard so much Torah from the father, he's afraid he's going to forget it, so he just got up from Shiva. He's going to write down everything that he heard from his father that he shouldn't forget. So we have 1.5 pages. 1.5 pages. Like Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away. And everybody's forgetting everything that he had said. You have to write everything down first. So the Maram Chalva's son writes this down in the name of his father. This is the answer that all Akhrenim give. That Sfira Soimer is not considered as Man Grama because we assume Sfira Soimer is Man as there is only the Rabbanon. Why is it only the Rabbanon? Because Mechayiv of Sfira Soimer is not Tezayin Nissen. Mechayiv is the Hakrovas Mincha Soimer. What's the Mechayiv of Hakrovas Mincha Soimer? Tezayin Nissen. Hakrovas Mincha Soimer is Man Grama. That's a different thing. That's a carbon Sibur. The whole Sibur is Mechayiv. That's not the... That's not an issue of mitzvahs and shas ma'agrama. That's not a chavis ayochet to discuss whether women are obligated or not. That's a chavis atzibur, the mincha soimer. So the mechayiv of the mincha soimer is this man of tezayin nissen. But the mechayiv of sfir soimer is hakrovas mincha soimer. So that women are mechuyiv also in that. That's not called as ma'agrama. Others say differently. They say b'shem Rav Chaim is slightly different hesber. The Rav Chaim said he doesn't think that a third tzad, neither is correct. What's the mechayiv of sfira soimer? Neither hakrovas mincha soimer nor the yom tezayim. They quote the name Rav Chaim. You mean to say that bizman shebeis hamikdash hayekayim of 1 year by accident there was a bais rishon for 410 years, a bais sheni for a longer period of time? You mean to say that during that long period of time of 1 year by accident, something happened and they weren't able to be makriv mincha soimer, so the sfira soimer that year would not be there, I said. So the quote Rav Chaim found that hard to believe. That it really, the hakrovas mincha soimer is the mechayiv in the sfira soimer, he didn't think that that's right. So he thought the chiyuv hakrovas mincha soimer. The obligation to bring a mincha soimer is mechayiv in sfira soimer, even if the poel mamish he never brought the mincha soimer. So he suggested, this is a famous piece from Rav Chaim, he suggested that what's the issue of Zman Hazeh, whether Sfira Soimer should be there, I said the Rabbana. The Gemara says Sfira Soimer is only the Rabbana. How did the Rambam come off the Paskin against the Gemara? So some interpret, well, the Rambam understood. You look in the Gemara Menachos, the Rambam understood. The last line in the Sugya backs out from Amema. The last line implies that Sfira Soimer of Zman Hazeh is there, I said. Why should it be there, I said, what's the issue? So he said, that's the Shaila. What did he say? The Kedusha is Beis HaMikdash is Kitcha Lasi Lavoi. In the year 70, when the Bais Sheni was Charev, do we assume that once it was destroyed, there's no longer any Kedusha Beis HaMikdash? Or should we assume no? The Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha Beis HaMikdash is Kitcha Lasilov. So that's a machlokes Tanoim, and a machlokes Amaroi, and a machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid. The Mishnah Berurah says, Asfeke Adina. The Ravid and the Ramban happened to pass in that Loi Kitcha Lasilov, that there's no Kedusha HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh. And the Rambam taskens that there is Kedusha HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av and other places that it's a Sfeika Diyami whether we hold La Locha that Kitcha Lasi Lava, the Kedusha HaMikdash Aloi Kitcha Lasi Lava. So Rav Chaim says that that's what it depends on. There's only an obligation, there's only a Chiyuv to be Makrit Mincha Soimer when you have a Kedusha Beis HaMikdash. If you don't have a Kedusha Beis HaMikdash, if Loi Kitcha Lasi Lava, then there's no Chiyuv to be Makrit Mincha Soimer. So if you hold the Kitcha Lasi Lavoiv, so then there's a chiyuv, there's still a chiyuv as man as that we are unable. Any nechodim lasis chavim seim bnei yad shen ishtach v'migdash shecha. We cannot bring the mincha soimer, but there's a mask over there, the mokam ha-migdash, mokam ha-mizbeth. It won't let us do it. But theoretically, we are mechayiv to bring the mincha soimer. So the chiyuv, mincha soimer, is mechayiv in the sphere soimer. So anyway, that's the machlekes ha... Amaroyim in a machlekes the Rishonim halacha lemaisa how you paskin, but the sfira soimer bizman hazeh is the raisa of the rabbanan. So the Tosfos are not daf in Menachos daf samach lo manalos. Tosfos writes halacha lemaisa. Tosfos knows that sfira soimer bizman hazeh is only the rabbanan.
Sure.
So therefore sveika the rabbanan lekul.
Sure.
So therefore Tosfos says ben hashmashus is a safik yom safik lailo. The Tosfos says it's mutar lechatchila to count sfira soimer during ben hashmashus. You don't have to wait to count Sfira till Tzeis HaKochav. We don't paskin like this, but that's what Tosfos says. We'll get in a minute. Tosfos says, you don't have to wait to count till Tzeis HaKochav, because it's only the Rabbana Bizman Hazeh, so it's Feika the Rabbana Lekula. And in fact, Tosfos even recommends it's a Hida Mitzvah to count during Ben Hashmashos. Why? Because the Gemara says there on that daf on Samach Vav, that when you count Sfira Soimer, you should count in a such a way that it should be Tmimos. Tmimos means you should count to include as much of the 24-hour period of the day as possible. So let's say the guy's going to count Sfira Soimer at 11 o'clock in the morning. And what happened from last night? Say Sukkot was last night around 7 o'clock. So what happened from 7 o'clock at night till 11 o'clock in the morning? He didn't count. So the Gemara says Sfira Soimer should be Balayla. It shouldn't be Bayom. If you're going to count Sfira Soimer Bayom, it's going to be lacking Tmimos. You should count as much. You should do the counting in such a way that you should have as much of the day included in the count is possible. So if you're going to count 11 o'clock, that's going to happen from 11 o'clock till 6:15. Count last night. At night, so you'll have the whole 24 hours of the day included. So Tosfos wants to make a chumrah, so they say, if you count Bein Hashmashes, if Sfira Soimer is there, right, and Bein Hashmashes, Safik Yom, Safik Laila, so you may be counting on the wrong day. Maybe counting on yesterday. You've got to count on today. You've got to count tonight, not yesterday to today. But if you hold the Sfira Soimer is only the Rabbanon, the Bein Hashmashes is the Sfeika, the Rabban Vakula. Ooh, so it's better. So you're going to get the whole full 24 hours. You're going to get Kvetcheis more. You get more for your money. got to have the whole 24 hours included in the Sfira Soimer. So that's what Tosfos recommends, that Bizman Hazeh, that Sfira Soimer is only the Rabbanon. They say it's permissible to count Bein Hashmoshes, and once it's permissible, they recommend it in order to fulfill more the Din of Tmimus. In the end of Psochim, we don't have any Rifa Menachas, for most of Menachas is not Negev Bizman Hazeh. So the Rif had to quote the Din of Sfira Soimer somewhere. So the Rif quotes it in the end of Maseches Psochim. The last daf quotes a little bit. So the Ran has a commentary, the last page in Daf Chof Ches, in the Rif on Psochim. The Ran has a little bit of a discussion of Sfira Soima. So the Ran disagrees with that thesis, and the Mishnah Berurah writes for Halacha like the Ran. Why? What do you mean, Sveika the Rabban Lakula? So he says, Sveika the Rabban Lakula is if you got stuck, you fell into a blotter, you fell into a mess, and then you say, well, I got stuck, so I say, Sveika the Rabban Lakula. But to choose Lachatchila to set up a situation, Litza Lachatchila, Sveika the Rabban Lakula, that you're not allowed to do. Not allowed to set up a situation, Lachatchila. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah puts this round together with the other round also. He says, whenever you can easily avoid, relying on the kula, Sveika the Rabban Lakula, you should. So he says, if you have a shayla, when to do hasebas, he says, do the haseba on all the four cases. What's the big deal? Mishnah Berurah has this, let's say a person, it's Rosh Chodesh, and the person forgot to say hello. Now hello Rosh Chodesh is only a minig. It's not the Araisa for sure. The maximum it is a minig at the Rabbanon. That's as far as you can say. So strictly speaking, she really says Sveika the Rabban. And let's say the person didn't say hello yet, and it's now Bein Hashmoshes of Sof HaYom of Rosh Chodesh. So should he say hello or not? No. If Bein Hashmoshes is Laila, then he won't gain anything by reciting the hello. He only yoytz a hello by Yom. Mishnah says in Megillah that hello, the one of the mitzvahs, they can only be fulfilled by Yom. He can't fulfill the mitzvah of hello by Laila. So should it be Machmet to say the hello, B'li Brach, at Bein Hashmoshes of Sof HaYom of Rosh Chodesh? Or should he say, Sveika the Rabban Lakula? Maybe it's already Laila and he won't gain anything by saying the halal. And the Mishnah Berurah says, well, how long is it going to take the guy to say the whole halal already? What else does he have such important things to do? So let him spend 10 minutes and say halal, big deal. That's a little more than the Hasebi. The Hasebi has to drink the wine anyway, so what's the big deal whether he leans over, he doesn't lean over? He has to have the pillow anyway for the first two cases. He has to have the pillow for the matzah. So what's the big deal? So he'll drink the second two cases, also the Hasebi. But over here, to spend 10 minutes of your time, that's maybe has an important movie on television that he has to watch, maybe the sports or something. So the Mishnah Berurah says that, spend 10 minutes, say over the halal b'li bracha. Sveika the Rabbanon Lakula is only when you get stuck. That's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that you should be careful in counting Sfira Soimer in such a way that you should make sure that it's Vaday Laila. So it's based on that Achrenim came up with this idea, and they said, when you go to the store and there are two kosher products, you can't buy treifer food. You have two kosher products, and one kosher product, it has no treifers mixed in at all. The other kosher product had treifers mixed in, but it was Nizbatel already. So there's a din of Eimer Vatla Nisa Lahatchila. Eimer Vatla Nisa Lahatchila means you're not allowed to mix in the treifers. But what if the treifers already was mixed in, but you can easily avoid relying on the Bittel Beroi? So the many Paskim say that too is a violation of Eimer Vatla Nisa Lahatchila. If you will choose to rely on the Bittel Beroi when you can easily avoid it, that's also a violation of Eimer Vatla Nisa Lahatchila. And they interpret this in the Gemara in the first Perek in Beitza, when the Gemara says, when you have a Dova Sheyesh L'Matirin, they got mixed in to Anisa, that's a Dova Sheyesh L'Matirin, got mixed in to Heter. So, Acha, so Rashi writes on the Gemara in Beitza, Acha Tachlana Bisa, Tachlana Beheter, why eat it today, relying on the Bittel Beroi? Wait till tomorrow, and you won't even have to rely on the Bittel Beroi. So your choice, your decision, that you want to eat it today to rely on Bittel Beroi, that's also a violation of Eimer Vatla Nisa Lahatchila. You could have easily decided to wait till tomorrow. Eat something else today. You have other food to eat. Eat something else today. So your decision to rely on the Bittel Beroi, that's also called a violation of Eimer Vatla Nisa Lahatchila. Whenever you can easily avoid relying on the Bittel Beroi, you must. And the decision to rely on the Bittel Beroi is called Eimer Vatla Nisa Lahatchila. So that's what the whole issue is all based on. If they sell two different sodas in the store, and the kosher Pesach soda is not that much more expensive than the other soda, it happens that it tastes better. The goyim are jealous when the Jews go for Pesach and they buy. So they know, the goyim understand, no, that has real sugar, and this only has corn syrup. But they know that the real sugar tastes better, and it's a real McCoy, and it's more expensive. More expensive because it has sugar in it. So if you can easily avoid relying on the beetle beroid kidney, strictly speaking, is bottle beroid, you don't need shishim, but if you can easily avoid relying on the beetle beroid, you should. If you're visiting by somebody, let's say visiting by some Sephardim, and they cooked something and it has kidneys in it, and that's what they offer you. So you have no choice. So the din is that kidneys is bottle. Unless you're eating the kidney is bien. But if you're not eating the kidney is bien, so the din is that it's bottle beroid. You should have chosen to eat by somebody else. But if that's your mother-in-law, so you have no choice. So that's not called that's not a violation of that's your wife, whatever. So then you have no choice to go eat by someone else. So you have no choice. So that's not a violation.
What if the non-kosher
Pesach,
what if the non-kosher
Pesach, so the kosher Pesach, so that considered after we've heard this article on the idea that it's only... Yeah, probably is. I mean, it doesn't taste as good. You have a kosher product, you have two kosher products. One of them relies on Bittel Berog, one of them does not. And the one that relies on Bittel Berog tastes better. Tastes slightly better. So some cases will be considered that unavoidable. He wants to have a tasty flavor. He doesn't like the flavor of the other. So then it is that it is Bittel Berog. That's not called Eimer Matan Islam. Strictly speaking, it would be Mutter. What's the halacha if somebody by mistake cooked some kidneys in their Pesach Dike Kelim? So even though kidneys, all you need is rive, you don't need shishim, and whatever, you're going to cook anything in the pot. Let's say this is the pot that by mistake I cooked some corn on the cob. A woman calls me up, Achal Amoyim Pesach, by mistake she cooked corn on the cob for supper. She went to the store, Achal Amoyim, she bought corn on the cob. Then her husband comes home from the office and Chalai said, what you do? Corn is the kidney. So she didn't realize. So she put it away. There's nothing about you. Rabbi Matz, you can keep the corn in the refrigerator. Eat it after Pesach. There's no halacha that you have to sell it to the guy. What do you do with the pot? So if you're going to cook in the same pot when it's still a ben yomo, so the bliyaf and the kidneys is going to go into the Pesach like soup, into the Pesach like chicken, whatever. So even though the din is that that you don't need shishim and you're always going to have raiv. It's not possible that the bliyah of the kidney is going to be more than 50%. That's physically impossible. So it really should be mutter. Nonetheless, the poskim say that even when an iser doesn't, even when you have kidneys or something like that, where there's no din of tam ki iker, but still you have to kasher the pot. The halacha requires you have to kasher the pot. What if you waited 24 hours and then the shach writes in Yeridaya that the gzeira eda ben yoma ata ben yoma only applies to an iser derais and iser derabbanan? It doesn't apply to something that's only also mitam chumra, mitam minik. So kidney is only a minik. So if you wait 24 hours, then you don't have to kasher the pot. But within 24 hours, it's not proper to cook in that pot kosher the Pesach Dika food. But if you did cook the food in the pot, it will not become asa, because kidneys doesn't asar benesina sta. It's bottled beroib, so beroib you're certainly going to have. But even though there's no din of tam kikar and kidneys, still you're not supposed to cook in a pot that has the bliyah from the kidney.
What about
kidney
oil?
Kidney oil. We're noig lahachmer kidney oil also. Yeah. There's a machlokes about that. Machlokes among the achrayim, and the minig is lahachmer. Many years ago, there was a big course of leber in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi, gave a hechsher to a ben Torah, Talmid Chacham. We'll need a parnassus. He gave him a hechsher on some kind of a shemen kidneys, based on all the classical poskim that, strictly speaking, is mutter. And then the badatz got very angry at Rav Kook, and they said that, but the minig is not so. So they bashmutzed him all about that. So they have a whole literature about that big machlokes. The minig is lemaisa that we don't use shemen kidneys, not like Rav Kook said at that time. Even though all the reasons to ask the kidneys don't apply by shemen kidneys, but still, minig is that we don't use it. The Mishnah in Psochim quotes a machlekes Bishama Bisul regarding the Koshel Kiddush on Pesach night, but this Mishnah appears also in Brochus. It's not only a machlekes on Pesach, it's a machlekes all year long on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Whenever you say Kiddush, do you say first Bar Pi Agafen and then you say Kiddush, or do you say first Kiddush and then you say Bar Pi Agafen later? So we pasken like Bisilo, that first you say the Bar Pi Agafen and then you say the Kiddush later. But yeah, but if a person made a mistake and he says first the Kiddush, But the Eved the Seder is not Miyakim, so we'll say the Burpi Agofen later. I remember sometimes people make a mistake. This year it doesn't happen. Let's say Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So sometimes people forget that on Shabbos, when Pesach falls out on Shabbos, start from by Chulu, and then you say Burpi Agofen, and then you say the Kiddush. So what happens by mistake? The person said Burpi Agofen, and then he realizes, hey, today's Shabbos, he didn't say by Chulu yet. So what should he do? So he should not say by Chulu in between the Burpi Agofen and the Kiddush. By Chulu is Erak Minhag. That's not a din. Strictly speaking, the Baichulu is not part of the Kiddush. The Gemara in the end of Masechah Shabbos says about the importance, it's an old minhag, it's already from the days of the Amoraim, but it's not part, an intrinsic part of the Kiddush. That would be a hefsek if you say Baichulu in between the Burpi HaGofen and the Kiddush. You should finish the Kiddush and drink the wine, Behesev, and then you say Baichulu later. Baichulu is not Miyakeh. So this machlag is B'Shamayim B'Shilel. The Tzlach and Brochus Daf Nun Aleph has a famous kasha. Famous because it sparked a whole literature, started off a whole literature on this kasha. It's a very interesting kasha. How come the Gemara gives considerations for Bishamah, considerations for Bishilo? Why you should say first Burpi HaGofen and then Kiddush? Why you should say first Kiddush then Burpi HaGofen? He has a better consideration, an overriding consideration. You have a Gemara in Zvachim, Perikol HaTodir, on that side of Galif. When the Mishnah says Torah B'Shein Torah Torah Kodesh, if you're about to perform two mitzvahs, one is a mitzvah which is performed very often, and one is a mitzvah which is only performed rarely, like Burpi HaGofen, and you say all year long you can drink wine every day of the week, and Kiddush only recite once a week on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You say Kiddush. The Gemara says Torah B'Shein Torah Torah Kodesh is one of the considerations over here. Why they still hold that you say first Burpi HaGofen and then you say the Kiddush? So the Tzlach is the kasha, but we have another cloud there in the Mishnah. Mekudesh Veinu Mekudesh, same Mishnah. And Terakol HaTodim, Mekudesh, Meinu Mekudesh, Mekudesh Kodim. If you're about to perform two mitzvahs, one is clearly much more important than the other, so you should arrange them in such a way to do first the more important mitzvah, and then to do the less important mitzvah. So the Mishnayos have examples of Kohen, well, that's in Zvachim. The Mishnayos have an example of Kohen is in the Beis HaMikdash, and there are two people who have korbanos. One has a Kachim Kalim, one has a Kachim Kachim. So the Kachim Kachim is holier than the Kachim Kalim. There should be Makar of the Kachim Kachim before the Kachim Kalim. And within the Kachim Kachim, there are Madregas. And within the Kachim Kalim, there are Madregas. That's all based on this cloud. The mitzvah that's more important should be performed first, and then the mitzvah that's less important should follow that. So what if you're about to perform two mitzvahs? One is the Raisa, one is the Rabbanon. So Alpi Pashtus, the mitzvah the Rabbanon is not as important as the mitzvah the Raisa. So Kiddush on Friday night is the Raisa. Burpi HaGofen, Birchas HaNenin is only the Rabbanon. Why didn't the Gemara consider this Svara? That the Kiddush should precede the Burpi HaGofen because the Kiddush is the Raisa, and the Burpi HaGofen, the Birchas HaNenin is only the Rabbanon. That's the Tzlach's Kasha. He says that Teretz, that Mestame, a lot of Paskim have this notion that the Gemara says in Brachas that the Kiddush doesn't have to, the Kiddush the Raisa doesn't have to be recited ala Yayin. If you say Kiddush B'dvorim without a cup of wine, you're also Yoytze. The Rambam is right like that, the Morgan Avraham Paskim is like that. We had in Shavuos for Chav. Places had the Machlokes about that, whether Kiddush ala Yayin is the Raisa, just Kiddush is the Raisa. Ala Yayin is only the Rabbanon, different opinions. So we pass on Allah that the Kiddush B'dvorim is the Raisa, the ala Yayin is only the Rabbanon. So therefore, many Paskim say that when you dab Ma'ariv and Shul, you will hear the Kiddush the Raisa, and the repeating of the Kiddush at home, ala Yayin is already all the Rabbanon. So they're both the Rabbanon. The Burpi HaGofen is the Rabbanon, the Kiddush the Rabbanon. So that's why neither is more Mekudesh than the other. But there is such a cloud. The Tzlach holds that there should have been such a cloud that if you're about to recite two brachas, or two mitzvahs, one is a mitzvah the Raisa and one is a mitzvah the Rabbanon, so you should perform the mitzvah the Raisa first and then perform the mitzvah the Rabbanon. So that's what Rabbi Kivego Hatashtar Kikasha. It says in the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch that during the Zman of Sfiras HaOmer in Shul on Friday night, in those communities where they say Kiddush in Shul on Friday night, so should they say Kiddush first or should they count Sfiras HaOmer first? Which should they do first? So if it's not Tzeis HaKochavim yet, so it's not yet the time to count Sfiras HaOmer, so they say Kiddush first. What's the problem? But if it's already after Tzeis HaKochavim and you can either do A or B, it's the Zman of both, so which one should you do first? So the Shulchan Aruch writes like this, Achilik, that if it's Friday night, so you want to usher in the Shabbos as early as possible. So first you say the Kiddush, and then you say the Sfiras HaOmer. If it's Matzoi Shabbos, then Kol HaPuki Yom Miyakrinon. The Gemara has a concept in Gemara Brachas and Perikei L'Zman that it's always preferable to prolong the Shabbos as long as possible. So it's better to count Sefira Simon first and then to recite Havdol. So Rabbi Kivegu is bothered with Akasha. The Kiddush is Deraisa. What about Havdola? Is Havdola Deraisa or not? So that's a machlok is the Rambam and the Magid Mishnah. Or the Havdola is Deraisa the Rabbana. It's an Afkamina where the women are Mechuyiv. Women are Mechuyiv in Kiddush, the Gemara says. Are women Mechuyiv in Havdola? So the Gemara never says. So the Magid Mishnah says, well, it depends. If you're like the Rambam, the Kiddush and Havdola are both Deraisa based on the same passage, so then you can't distinguish. So the women, just like the Mechuyiv in Kiddush, the Mechuyiv in Havdola. But if you hold Havdol is only the Rabbana, like others who disagree with the Rambam, so then maybe there's room to say that maybe the women are only Mechuyiv in Kiddush, maybe the women are not Mechuyiv in Havdol. Fine. So that's a machlok. How do we paskin? So look, Hatchila, the women should avoid reciting Havdol. Maybe they're not Mechuyiv. They should always listen to Havdol from the man who is obligated. Men shouldn't say Havdol, especially for the women. Maybe the women are not Mechuyiv. So what is he saying Havdol? He was ready to answer. What is he saying Havdol for the Isha? So the women should always try to hear Havdola from a man as being Yotze himself or who's saying for men. What bottom line, what if it turns out that the woman has nobody to hear Havdola from? So how do we paskin? So the Magen Avraham paskins halacha l'maisa, like the Rambam. We paskin that Havdola is their Isa. How do we paskin regarding Sfira Saim Bizman? Is that Machlaikis? Machlaikis. So how do we paskin? So bottom line, we paskin Sfira Saim is the Rabbana. Magen Avraham says. So if we paskin bottom line, Havdola is their Isa, and bottom line, Sfira Saim is the Rabbana. So why is it that we say we want to prolong the Shabbos longer by counting Sefira Simon and then by saying Havdolah? But Havdolah is their Isa, and Sefira Simon is only the Rabbanon. So why shouldn't we say Mekudesh Veinu Mekudesh, Mekudesh Koydem, we should perform the mitzvah the Raisa before performing the mitzvah the Rabbanon? That's Rabbi Kivegu's kasha. The Samach Renin point out the same answer that the Tzlach gave on his kasha by the Bar Piyagofim with the Kiddush can answer the Rabbi Kivegu's kasha as well. They're talking in shul. Everybody already said Atachan Anton. Most of the people said it. Half the people forgot. Okay. Some of the people said it. It's supposed to say Atachan Anton. It's supposed to say Atachan Anton. So since officially everybody was already Yotze Havdola Deraisa, so the repetition of the Havdola in shul and at home is only for the Rabbanan purposes of fulfilling the Havdola ala kos, ala yayin. So they're both the Havdola and the Sefira Saim are now both the Rabbanan. So both are abundance, and then you can apply this new concern, the new consideration of kol apukiyon and meachrin.
Prolong the Shabbos.
Enoch and Ami, we already said the Havdola, but the official bidding of farewell to the Shabbos is when you repeat the Havdola alakos. So the Gemara has like that. The Gemara in Brachas calls that apukiyon. The Gemara is talking about such a case that the person already said atachan antonu and shul, but is going to say Havdola alakos at home. So which bracha should he say first? Should he say Bar Minim Psamim, Bar Miyari Hoesh, or Havdola? Mar says Havdola goes last. Havdola always goes last when you say. We say Bar Piyagofen, then we say the other brachas, Psamim and Air, and Havdola goes last because of this concern, because of the Kol HaPukiyam and Machrin. Even though we already said Atachan Antanu and Shul. But the Havdola ala Kos is the official bidding of farewell to the Shams. That's right. That's a good kasha. That's a good kasha. I mean, if the women didn't say any Havdola at all, right? That's a good kasha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a whole literature about that on Friday night. If the men daven and the women didn't daven on Friday night, so the men were Yotze Kiddush Deraisa and the women were not, so how can the man be Yotze the woman if he's not Mechuyev B'Tavah? Unless he says based on Orvus. So is the Orvus of men for women or not? So he quotes a whole Machloikis Achronim about that. Most hold that there is Orvus. Most hold that the men do have Orvus for women. Some hold that not, so then they have Akasha. So they recommend that the women should be careful to daven on Friday night and on Matzoi Shabbos to make sure that there's no problem. So most of the poskim hold that there's no problem anyway because there is a din of Orvus. So Soloveitchik always used to say his suggestion, why the din is like this hilo, why you have to say Baruch Piyagofen first before the Kiddush. So the Gemara gives reasons why. So Soloveitchik used to give his own reason why. He said, what if you want to say Kiddush on Trefa wine? So that's no good. You can't say Kiddush on Trefa wine. The Chidor writes in his Magal Toiv, in his travelogue, the Chidor was a Meshulah for a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So he traveled all over Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe. Whenever he went to France and to England and to Belgium and to Holland, whenever he went to a place where there was an official government library, he would spend a few days in a library and copy over. They had no Xerox machines. He would copy off all the Kisvayat that they had, all the Miris that we didn't have until this century. So he had them all in the late 1700s. He already had all these kisviyot. So he writes that he came upon all kinds of strange menhagim in different communities. And some communities in Western Europe, he saw that they wouldn't drink goyisha wine that's manufactured by goyim, but they would say kiddush and havdalah on it. How can you say kiddush and havdalah on trefa wine? Because they all that the din de rabbanon of kiddush alayayin was instituted before the gzera de rabbanon of stam yena. So that's why that takes precedence. So you can say kiddush and havdalah on trefa wine on stam yena, because the takana de rabbanon of kiddush alayayin preceded the. He says we don't hold like that, but he has a whole discussion of that practice. So needless to say, you can't say kiddush and havdalah on trefa yain. You have to use kosher yain. And the Gemara says in Bracha is that asal adam sheyahanim et adam azeh. All the wine in the world, everything in the world is treif until you say a bracha. And the bracha is the matir. The bracha is the pidyon. The Yerushalmi has the lashon. The bracha is the matir. So if he didn't say baruch pri hagafen yet, so the wine is still treif. So hegdish dika wine. The Gemara says, kol ha'nedem et alam hazeh b'lai bracha, harei zeh moal. He's moal behegdish. So what do you say? I have a bottle of wine that belongs to hegdish. I'll say kiddush, and then I'll give a dollar to the gizbashel hegdish to be paid it. And then I'll drink the wine. So is that good? At the time that he said the Kiddush, the wine was treif. So how can there be a Havamin over here? How can anybody think like the Beis Shammai? That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik used to ask. How can anybody think like the Beis Shammai that first you say the Kiddush, then you say the Baruch Pi Hagaf, but at the time that he's saying the Kiddush, the wine is treif. It's still Hegdish. The Shaila is, how come the Gemara doesn't say that now? So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to press it into the Gemara. The Gemara says that there's two reasons for the Beis Hillel. So he used to say that that's where he thinks that maybe that's what one of the reasons means. Pasha Peshat in the Gemara is not so. But it's an interesting kasha.
Even if you say the Kish Al-Yayin is not and Bar Sar Shiyuta is considered the Rabbanah. So therefore, just because you make a Kish on something, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the fact that you're going to come off from it afterwards. How would one do the practice if they would
Pasha says if they wouldn't naturally, they would
just make the second bracha, they wouldn't say Baruch Yagaf, and
they would drink it.
If you really be honest,
you can't drink it because you make a bracha. So he's not
going to drink the wine.
But how can you make kiddush on it? Right. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. How can you say kiddush on treif of wine? I can say kiddush if it's gezel. That was his taina. So shouldn't the reason for this hill be that you have to say the brichas and then and first to make the wine mutter, that it shouldn't be gezel? And then once the wine is not gezel and it's not moil behegdish, then you can begin to say kiddush.
You can't drink before kiddush either. So
I can make
kiddush on wine, you can't drink the wine until you finish the kiddush.
You can't eat or drink before kiddush because you'll be mevatel
mitzvah
kiddush, yeah.
So before you finish the kiddush, the wine itself is not mutter to be drunk because you don't make kiddush yet.
Yeah.
So why does the bottle
of the... No, but that's not tray for wine. That's tray because of the mitzvah of kiddush. No, that's tray because of the mitzvah of kiddush. Once you say the kiddush, you're not allowed to eat or drink before the kiddush. You don't say that it's tray for wine. Like the Gemara asked Akash and Chulin, how can you be makriv chel v'dam agabi hamizbeach? There's a din, mimash kisol min amuta li Yisrael. You're not allowed to be makriv hamizbeach tray for food. So the Gemara gives an answer on that. Shani hasam de mitzvah sebekah. So the Ksav Sofer and the Chidush Manchulin interprets that that's the answer that the Gemara gave. The reason why the Torah forbids us from having chel v'dam is because it's supposed to be karb agabi hamizbeach. There's a mitzvah to be makriv, this is chel kashol gavoy. And even if it's not a behemas chulin also, the Torah prohibits us from eating chel v'dam because this is officially chel kagavoy. So you can't turn around now and say a kasha, well, how could you be makriv on the mizbeach? It's not kosher. No, the whole reason why it's also is because it's chel kashol mizbeach. That's how the and interprets the Gemara's answer. That's a machlekes of Rishonim, whether that answer is correct or not. We know that there's such a thing as chelev, which you makriv on the mizbeach, which is muta b'achila, the alya, it says in the Chumash, is karev on the mizbeach by some karvanis, but still it's muta b'achila lehei. When it's not a karvan, it's muta b'achila lehei. So that's not a problem. Can you have the reverse? Does there exist such a chelev which is also b'achila lehei, which was never karev agabi hamizbeach? So that's a big tesis in Eilu Treifus, has a machlokes Rishonim about that. The other machlokes had a reading Gemara in the studio of chelev in the middle of Eilu Treifus, and some Rishonim interpreted it in such a way that there's a certain kind of, certain section of fat in the animal There was never korb agavim mizbech, and it's still also with an isur korb that we're not allowed to eat it. So if you say like that, then the whole ksav sofer's pshat is wrong. If you can have a chaylev, you can have a chaylev that's korb agavim mizbech that you're allowed to eat. That's not a problem. But the opposite, how can you have? You can have a chaylev that's an isur korb, you're not allowed to eat it, and it was never korb agavim mizbech. So then that's an indication that the isur chaylev adam is not because it's chelkos shel gavoyah. So that's a machlokes of Rishonim. Tosfos uses that argument. Tosfos in the Mordechai used that argument against those Rishonim. How can you say that? That chaylev is aser, but it was never korb agavim mizbeach. That's exactly their argument. That's exactly the machlokes of Rishonim, whether the ksav sofer is right or not. We say the nusach in the beginning of the Haggadah, kol dichven yesev yechol, whoever is starving. Kofen. Kofen means that the person is starving. What kind of a lashon is that? Why is the guy starving? So the Shibale Haleket quotes of Pshat that the Gemara says on Erev Pesach, samach l'mincha l'yechol adam, you should really fast a good portion of the day, either half an hour before mincha gedolah, half an hour before mincha ktana, whatever it is, kedei she'yechol l'tayavon, you should work up really an appetite. So even though the Gemara has certain coolers, you can have a little nash, mini tagim, you can nibble this, nibble that, but some people nibble so much in our Pesach that they're not hungry at all on Leil Pesach. So the Shibale Haleket writes that it's not correct. You should really be hungry on Leil HaSeder. Those who nibble, so they should see to it that their brothers or sisters or their children will give so many pirushim on the Haggadah that they develop an appetite. Sometimes the children spend so much time giving pirushim that they give their parents an appetite. You get hungry. So you're supposed to be hungry when it comes to the Leil HaSeder. It should be called Dichman. They should be hungry. We have the Nusach in the Haggadah. At the beginning of the Haggadah, we say, Baruch HaMokum, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas, and Terolam Yisrael, Baruch Hu. We recite the Bichas HaTorah. What is that Bichas HaTorah all about? So again, the Shibale Haleket writes that this is Rav Soloveitchik used to stay over in his style, but the idea already appears in the Shibale Haleket and the Rishonim, that the mitzvah of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be fulfilled Leil HaPesach in the form of Talmud Torah. Not just by telling over the story. You have to fulfill it in a specific form of Limud HaTorah. Namely, the Mishnah says you have to recite Parshas Harami Avid Avi V'Dorsho. We have Torah Shebichsav. We have a form of Limud Torah Shebichsav. Then we have a form of Limud Torah Shebalteh. So here, the Chachamim, either it's a Din Derabbanan or a Din Deraisa, we don't know, but the Mishnah has like that. You have to recite V'dorish Me'arami Avedavi at Sheigma Kol HaParsha Kula. That's the Mishnah of Kufte Zayin Amarala. You should recite Arami Avedavi, the Torah Shebichsav, Pasuk by Pasuk, and on every phrase in each Pasuk, you should break it down to the phrases and Darshan, the Torah Shebalpez Drushes, on those phrases in the Pasuk. So this is a specific form of Limud HaTorah that you have to fulfill CPTF and Simon in this form. So the Yevid Mistama, if you won't do it like that, you'll also be Yotze, probably. But L'Hatchila, that's the more correct form. So the Shibale Haleket writes that since the person is now obligated to perform a mitzvah of Talmud Torah with a specific form, which he wasn't really obligated before, the whole day long you have to learn Torah. However, now there's a specific form, so you require a new Birchas HaTorah. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a Moshe L'Madav Adoyme, the Hagoras Maimli on the bottom of the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah writes that Rashi used to come to Minyan early. He used to say Birchas HaTorah when he woke up in the morning, and he sat and he learned in Shul. Then when the Balabatim would come, and they would recite Birchas HaShachar, and then after Mekadosh Hashem Kol Barabim, then they would recite, like in Broyers over here, by the Yekis, Rashi Gnen HaYekis, so they would recite Birchas HaTorah before Korbanos. They would recite Birchas HaTorah before Korbanos. So Rashi would say Birchas HaTorah a second time. He already said Birchas HaTorah before. So the Gos Maimini quotes the explanation. Before he said Birchas HaTorah, he was the only one learning in the base manager. He opened up the door. So that was Talmud Torah B'Yochid. But now that the Minyan gathered together, and they're all reciting Ezeh Mekoyman together, they're all reciting Korbanos together. Now it's Talmud Torah D'Rabim. So you require a new Birchas HaTorah. Just like Moshe L'mad Davidan, a person said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and then he gets an aliyah. So now when he gets an aliyah, this is a new form of Talmud Torah. Birchas HaTorah is a new form. So the halacha requires, he has to say another Birchas HaTorah over the aliyah. And it doesn't pose the problem of Brachah L'Batolah. Kach Tikna Chachamim. If you're obligated to perform a new form, to fulfill a new form of Talmud Torah, then it requires a new form of a new birchas hatorah. So that's perhaps the reason why we start off before the keneged abadim debetar, before we start the darshan, the dinim of Sipitzis Mitzrayim. So we say this baruch hamakom baruch shanas mitar lam yisrael baruch hu. We recite a form of birchas hatorah because we're going to introduce a new, special new form of Talmud Torah, of reciting Torah shebichsav and darshaning Torah shebalpeh on those psukim. The Mishnah has a special din that only applies on Pesach night. All year long you have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So you mentioned B'kitzer. The last pasuk in Kriya Shema, the last pasuk in the third parasha of Kriya Shema, so you mentioned briefly the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. On Pesach night the Mishnah requires that the person should give a dramatic presentation of Yitzias Mitzrayim by being Maskel B'gnus U'Mesayim Mishra. You have to say how things were before Yitzias Mitzrayim, and what changed after Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara has a machlokes Rav Shmuel exactly what that means. So there are two different nuschos of the Haggadah. Rav Zishivi, they said one Haggadah, and Shmuel Zishivi, they said the other Haggadah. Our practice is that we say both Haggadahs. We say two Haggadahs. We say Rav's Haggadah and Shmuel's Haggadah. The Rambam has it, the Goyim have it, we say both to be Yitzibah. Rav says, he say, Mitchila Abdi Abedizar Hay Avaseinu, the Asher Kevara Hamachim Lavedosa. Shmuel says, no, you say Abadim Hayinu Lefarim Mitzrayim, by Yotzieno Shem Elokeinu Mishom. What exactly is the machlokes Amoraim? So the pashtus is because the pasuk says that the taklis of Yitzias Mitzrayim was Anochi Hashem Elokeinu Sheyotzei Yitzchem Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Lomikim. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was in order to lead up to Matan Torah. That's from freedom. The Jews were always at the forefront of all of the freedom fights in the history of the world. The Jews were always the leaders of the communist movement in order to gain freedom for the people. In America, the Civil Liberties Union is all run by the Jews. The Jews are always the freedom marchers. Rabbi Riskin was one of the freedom marchers with, that's how he learned all the techniques, how to have peaceful demonstrations, a peaceful resistance. The Jews are always fighting for freedom for everybody because that's what Pesach is all about. So the question is, what is the whole purpose of this freedom? So the Chumash says, the purpose of Elocha ben Chorin al Mishosik Bater. It says Chorus, Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that the Aseres HaDibros were carved out on the Luchos, so the word used is Chorus. So the Mishnah says, you can read it as if it were written Chorus, that true freedom is Ein Lecha Ben Chorin L'Mishosik Bater. That's why we have this Sphira Soima connecting Pesach and Shavuos. The Ramban writes on Chumash that Shavuos is the Gemara of Pesach. The Gemara of Pesach is that the Chorus is only meaningful after we reach the Maimon HaSinah. So that's where Rav holds, that the Maschel B'Gnus and Messiah Mishrach, you have to say Metchil Avdei Abed Zorah HaYavisenu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Matan Torah. So what does it got to do with Pesach night? Because the whole purpose of the Yitzias Mitzrayim was in order to lead up to Matan Torah. So we say the way things used to be before. We used to have Terach, Avi Avram, Avi Noch, Avi Avdalim, Acherim. And then Yitzias Mitzrayim led up to Maimon HaSinai. And Shmuel says, no, that you're not Mechuyiv, even though that was the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim. You're not Mechuyiv to speak about that. Just on Pesach night, you can be Yoytze by just talking about the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mitchila, how does he say? Avodim ha'ilo lefarim mitzrayim, v'yotzei an Hashem v'kem Yisham. So we do both. We are machmed to recite both the Haggadah of Rav and the Haggadah of Shmuel. Haseb is a big machlokes HaRishon of what it's all about. It's clearly only Adin de Rabbanan. Haseb is not Adin de Raisa. That was the Ram's kasha. If you're Mesupik, which two places need Haseb? Why can't you apply? Why does the Gemara say, since you're Mesupik, so you should do Haseb on all four? So the Ram asks, why can't you say Sveik de Rabbanan Kulna? So Haseb is clearly only Adin de Rabbanan. But the question is, what exactly is the nature of the din? So Ravelva Soloveitchik is quoted as having pointed out that there's a fundamental machlokes here between Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos and the Rosh on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand, what Haseb is all about. The Rambam writes that Haseb and Abrakosis are a separate, these two constitute a separate mitzvah. That the Mishnah requires, B'chol Dovador Chayvonim Liris and Satsmer Kiluhu Yotzim and Mitzrayim. And every generation, that's the Mishnah on Kuf Tezayin on the base, and every generation, everyone should feel as if they just left Mitzrayim. Chayvonim Liris and Satsmer Kiluhu Yotzim and Mitzrayim. And then the Rambam writes that that's a Din Deraisa, that's read out from the Pasuk, Yosonu Hotzim Yisham. And then there's a din derabbanim b'chol davar chayiv adam laharis esatz makilu hiatz mitzrayim. Person has to demonstrate this feeling. How does he demonstrate it? So the Rambam says there are two parts to this din derabbanim of laharis esatz mo. One is the haseib, and one is the abakosa. So he should drink a toast to his freedom for the chayim, and he should have haseib. According to the Rambam, the Hasebe is not really part of the mitzvah of Arba Kaisis. It's not part of the mitzvah matzah. What are you going to say? Let's say he ate the matzah without Hasebe. So Tesis has a whole discussion. He has to eat all the matzah again. So the Rambam doesn't have that discussion. Why? But as Avraham said, it's not a tenai. It's not the proper way to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. You can't say he drank Arba Kaisis without Hasebe. Let him drink again. No, it's not a din. How to be yotzei the mitzvah of Arba Kaisis. Hasebe is a mitzvah on Pesach night. B'chol davar achayvam laharis esafim kilo yatz mitzvah. So you drink. So you do all the eating and drinking by Hasebe. But that's why the Rambam writes lachatchila kol asuda. Yesav kol asuda. The Rambam quotes that from the Rambam. Lachatchila yesav kol asuda. Why it's a separate mitzvah? If he ate without Hasebe, so he's yotzei the mitzvah. He's yotzei the matzah. He's yotzei the Arba Kaisis. He wasn't yotzei the other mitzvah of Hasebe. He won't gain anything by eating over more of the Hasebe. He's ready yotzei all the mitzvahs. Why should he eat the Hasebe? And the same thing the Arba Kaisis. The Rambam holds that the Arba Kaisis is a chiyuv on each and every individual person to drink Arba Kaisis. B'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam laharis es atzmo. The din derais is liris, and the din derabbanan takana derabbanan is laharis, to demonstrate. So every person has the obligation. The men, the women, everyone has an obligation to drink the Arba Kaisis and to eat the Hasebe. Tosfos disagrees on both. Tosfos did away with the Arba Kaisis as an independent mitzvah. Tosfos says no. Kiddush is Kiddush. Kiddush is Kiddush. Hashir Birchas HaMazon ala Yayin, we have that all year long. So the Gemara says, even if you hold it all year long, Birchas HaMazon does need Yayin. On Pesach night, the Chachamim required L'chol HaDeis that Birchas HaMazon needs Yayin. Then they made another two similar takanas. We have when you get married, you have a Baruch ala Yayin. When you have a bris, you say a Baruch ala Yayin. On special occasions, we recite the Baruch ala Yayin, Havdol ala Yayin. So here they made a takana, you should say the Baruch HaShem Yolanu ala Yayin. You should say the Birchas HaShir at the conclusion of the Halal also ala Yayin. But Taisa says it's the same as Kiddush and Avdolah all year long, that if one person says the Kiddush, all the members of the family can be Yotzei, and you don't require that everybody should have their own cup of wine and everybody should drink. Taisa is not sure, but that's basically how they're Noita. Taisa is on the first Mishnah. And Arvei Pesachim, on Tzarek Tes on the base, Taisa raises the question, and then they assume that the Pashtus is that it's the same as Kiddush and Avdolah. It's a Bracha Lakos. And how much do you have to drink? So Mulai Lukmov. How much do you have to drink? So how much do you have to drink? A little bit. So the same over here. The Rambam understands the Gemara differently. The Rambam says, no, Kiddush and Abdullah all year long. Bichas Eiris and Alakos, Bichas Nisun. At a wedding, you say Bichas Nisun. So that's a Bracha Alakos. So this is Hamavarach Tzarech Sheyitim. You don't need that everybody should drink. But on Pesach night, there are two aspects. The Rambam holds from Pesach's aspect. The stack of four Brachas Alakos. But in addition to that, there's another mitzvah to drink Arba Kaisis Derech Eiris. So every person has to have his own cup of wine, and you have to drink lachatchila kol akos. But the yevid, if you drank rov kos, that would be sufficient. But if you just drink v'loy lukmav, that would not be sufficient. You have to drink dafke rov kos. And there's even a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. But if you have a gigantic kos, if you could have a smaller kos also. The kos has to have a minimum of a revius of yayin. Let's have a kos that has five revius. The Chabad quotes two opinions. One opinion is that you got to drink a rave of that kais in order to say ruba kakula of the kais. The other opinion is no, that it's enough if you drink a rave of one revius, because you treat each revius of the kais as if it's a kais b'fnei atzma. But lachatchila, the back points are lachatchila, you really have to drink kol kais. And b'di'evet, we would say rave kais is sufficient. The marker for that is really the Mishnah and Chulin. The Mishnah begins the second parak in Chulin, that if a person shechted a chicken and he only shechted roiv of one simen, or he shechted a behemoth, you have to shecht both the kana and the veish. When you shecht oifis, it's enough to shecht simen echad, either kana or veish, either the windpipe or the food pipe. When you shecht the behemoth, you have to shecht both the esophagus and the windpipe and the food pipe. So the Mishnah says, Ashoichet sounds like v'dievet. Ashoichet roiv echad boif, roiv shnayim bebehemoth is kosher. So the Gemara says, Ashoichet v'dievet and lachatchila loy. So how much is he mechuyav to shecht lechatchila? So the Gemara has two pshatim. So one pshat is lechatchila you shouldn't rely on ruba kekula, you should shecht kula. Shouldn't rely on ruba kekula. Is that the lechatchila derais, or is that only the rabbanon? So there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Machlekes happens not to appear there. At the beginning of the second parak, there's a chibur on kula, and that's a classic that's called the Lev Aryeh. It's written by the Rav from Brod. The Rav from Brod was not as famous as one of his balabatim. The businessman who lived in Broad during his time was Rabbi Frank Zalman Margolis. He's a world famous figure. He wrote the Sha'arei Tshuva. next to the Be'ehetiv. He and his brother wrote the Shaarei Teshuva. So sometimes it says, look in my Sefer, sometimes it says, look in my brother's Sefer. It's talking about the same Sefer. So half of the Shaarei Teshuva is written by him, half of the Shaarei Teshuva is written by the brother. The Achraidim say they can never figure out what in the world is going on. Until they finally got a Shulchan Aruch, they had the first page. They had a Shulchan Aruch that was missing the first page, so they didn't know who wrote this book. It's a split personality. Sometimes it refers to the Tshuva's Beis Ephraim as my Sefer, sometimes it refers to it as his brother's Sefer. So they were missing the first page. So they finally got the first page. It says it's written by two brothers. Shaarei Teshuva was written by Rav Chaim Zalman Goes and his brother. So half was written by him, half by the brother. So he was a businessman. He was a businessman and broad at the time that the author of the Lev Aryeh was the Rav and broad. So the Lev Aryeh at the beginning of the second Perek in Chulin points out that in the first Perek in Chulin there's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. If you read it slowly and carefully, there's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos whether that din lechatchila, that Yishushech Kol HaSimin, not to rely on Ruba Kukula, is that a Din D'Raisa, or is that a Lachatchila D'Rabbanon? And the Pashtus is that it really should depend on the following. There is another Machlekes in Rishonim. You look in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, La Rambam, and the Hasogah Saraiva Devekes of Mishnah, there's a Machlekes where the Shechita is a Mitzvah, or Shechita is only a Matir. The Rambam lets Shechita among the Minyan HaMitzvahs, and the Raiva Devekes doesn't understand why should it be a Mitzvah. So the Pashup Shat is that it's only a matin, because Mishnah understands the Raman that it's really a mitzvah. So Tosfos in the end of Nida has a klal that it doesn't make sense to have a lachatchila on the level of the raisa in the area of a matir. In the area of a mitzvah, you can have a mitzvah b'shleimusa, should be done like so. And if you did it with less, it's a mitzvah shelo b'shleimusa. You should be zorek four zrikas from the chatos on the mizbech. If you did only one or two or three, so you're yotzei b'yevid. A lot of mitzvahs like that. The Bishlei Musa should be done like this, and B'nei it's Yoyotze Shalav Bishlei Musa. So when you have a din that you say Ruba Kukula by a mitzvah, so you're only Yoyotze in a mitzvah B'nei Yevet. The mitzvah Bishlei Musa would be if you would do a Kula, not to rely on the Ruba Kukula. So if you hold that Shechita is a mitzvah, but then it's shaykh to say that the requirement to Shech Kol HaSimen, not to rely on Ruba Kukula, would be Alachatchila Derais. If you hold that Shechita is only a matir, then it's not shaykh to say in a matter that you have a lachatchila deraisa, then this lachatchila to shaykh kol asimen would clearly only be the rabbonim. It's not shaykh to say that it'll be deraisa, but by abakaisis is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah de rabbonim, it is a mitzvah. So when it comes to mitzvahs, so there clearly is a din that the mitzvah is done b'shleimusa if you do kuloi. The relying on rubik a kuloi, that's only b'di'evid when it comes to mitzvahs. That's what the Bach says in the later Paschim quoted from the Bach, that according to Tosfos you don't even need Rav Kais, it's enough with Hamavach Tzor Shehitam Maloi Lugma. But according to the Rambam, that the mitzvah really is to drink Arba Kaisers, each person has to drink Arba Kaisers, so then we would require that Lachatchila should drink Kol HaKais. According to Tosfos, there is no such Lachatchila, just Lachatchila drink Maloi Lugma. One person drinks Maloi Lugma and everybody else is yes. But according to the Rambam, we would require that lachatchila each person should drink kol hakois. But yeah, but if each person drinks a rov kois, we would say ruba kukula. A verbal of Soloveitchik points out in the Sefer on the Rambam a comment that seems to have been made by the Ram b'shem Rav Haigoin. Rabbi Blau spoke about this a little bit on Shabbos. This was the he was rushed for time, so the last 2 minutes he ran through this very briefly. In other yeshivas, that's the only thing they would say over. Rav Elvela, the Torah begins with Rav Elvela. So Rabbi Blau started from the Gemara, from the Rishonim, and everything. Then by the time he got to Rav Elvela, it was already time for Mincha, so he had no time to say it over. So Rav Elvela points out the following, that the Mishnah says, B'chol Dovador, Mishnah Kufta Zayin Amad Beis, B'chol Dovador, Chai Varam Liris Asatz Mekili Yatz Mitzrayim, that's why we are obligated to recite Halal, that there are three different Mechayvim at least, three different Mechayvim of Halal. That was the theme of Rabbi Blau's talk on Shir on Shabbos afternoon. There are three different Mechayvim of Halal. There's a Halal on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos that's an expression of Simchas Yontif. That's how the Ramban writes in Sefer HaMitzvahs, that there's a possibility to say that Halal on Yontif should be the Raisa. As a chelik of Simchas Yontif, you need Simcha b'basa b'yayin, that's Simchas Aguf, and then you need Simchas HaNefesh by reciting Halal. Then you have a Halal every year on Chanukah, which is Zechel Nes. The Gemara says Halal on Chanukah is not to the end of the day. And if it rains before Chatzos, then you don't have to, you break your fast in the middle of the day. You don't have to fast till the end of the day. So the Mishnah says, if it rains, Yorduk Shamim Kaidim Chatzos, so the people go home and they all eat. And then after they finish eating, then they should come back to Shul, And they should all recite some kind of a halal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean that it's an S, it means a Yeshua. They were nitzol from the Eis Tzora of the Batzoras. So the Gemara effect HaKashi in the end of Tainus. What's the big behalah? What's the big rush? Why did they go home and eat first? Why don't they first say halal and then they go home and eat? How long is the whole halal going to take? 10 minutes? No one's going to die, no one's going to faint in 10 minutes. So let the people of Yorduk Shalom Kodem Chatzos, let them recite halal and shul first. And then they'll go home and they'll eat.